Weekend.
Possible storm tops of 27. Good morning, I'm Gemma Barth. The party will continue for the Socceroos today with the players to celebrate their historic Asian Cup win with fans in the Pitt Street Mall. Football Federation Australia is asking people to dress up in green and gold and head into the city from 10 this morning. Australia became Kings of Asia last night after beating South Korea 2-1 at ANZ Stadium to win their first ever piece of silverware. Surprise packet, Massimo Luongo has named player of the tournament, but he says it's all about the team's win.
Things just don't happen so easy for us, so it was definitely one to remember.
Islamic State has released a video reportedly showing the beheading of Japanese hostage Kenji Koto. His killer, a masked man, blamed the Japanese government for his slaughter. Japan is trying to confirm the authenticity of the video. The Queensland Labor Party is on the brink of returning to power just one term after it was crushed by the Liberal National Party. Campbell Newman last night became the first Premier in 100 years to lose his own seat. At the close of counting late yesterday, Labor had 44 seats to the LNP's 33. Federally, a new Galaxy poll shows the Coalition would lose if an election were held today. The Abbott government's primary vote has plunged to just 36%. There's a new contender for the top police job as the force continues to be plagued by the illegal surveillance saga. Stuart Perry reports.
The bugging scandal has seen tensions rise between two of the state's deputy police commissioners, Catherine Byrne and Nick Caldas. But a man untouched by the saga, David Hudson, has emerged as the most likely successor to command the force. The Telegraph reports a large number of serving officers back Mr. Hudson to step into the commissioner role when Andrew Scipione's contract expires in September. Senior officials believe Caldas and Burns' reputations have been irreparably damaged by the surveillance saga. Stuart Perry, Macquarie National News.
A re-elected Baird government has promised to increase the number of adoptions in the state. It's promised to establish Australia's first government-supported institute of open adoption. The Premier says children and their adoptive parents currently wait too long with too much uncertainty. 1,500 people are expected to today march through Newtown in opposition to the WestConnex tunnel. And the daughter of late singer Whitney Houston has been taken to hospital after being found unresponsive in a bathtub. In sport, and returning to our top story, the Socceroos accrediting their unique team bond for their breakout Asian Cup win over South Korea. The Aussies appeared to be unravelling in the 91st minute after the Koreans found the back of the net to tie the game at 1-1, but James Troisi saved the day with a screamer in extra time. Troisi has told Fox Sports he did what needed to be done.
Yeah, it was a bit of a blow. Obviously, you know, the timing, it was 90th minute, so our team spirit is unbelievable, and that's what got us, what makes us champions and the best country in Asia.
Serena Williams has bagged her 19th Grand Slam title in style, beating Maria Sharapova in the Australian Open final. Williams outclassed the Russian 6-3, 7-6 to clinch a record 6th Open crown. Sharapova says it's disappointing to watch the championship slip away.
It's always tough getting to a final stage of an event where it's down to two players and you end up being the one that's going home with the smaller trophy.
In the men's final tonight, Novak Djokovic will play Andy Murray. The return of star paceman Mitchell Johnson will boost Australia's chances in the tri-series final today against England at the Wacca. Footballers Sonny Bill Williams and Paul Gallen have both won boxing bouts at the footy show Fight Night in Sydney. And Rory McIlroy is leading the Dubai Desert Classic by 4 strokes at 20 under par heading into the final day. This is Macquarie National News. It's 8:04.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
A shower or two today, tops of 25 degrees on the coast, 27 in the west. A shower or two and becoming windy tomorrow. Right now in town it's 20 degrees, humidity's at 77%. It's 19 in Bankstown, 15 at Campbelltown, 18 degrees at Gosford, Penrith and Richmond and 12 at Katoomba.
For all the best in racing and all the latest in sport, this is Sky Sports Radio. Coming to you via 87.6 FM Narromine, 88 FM Gulgong, 87.6 FM Braidwood and 96.9 FM Coomer.
Cab Saddle Up Sundays. Visit some of our most exciting regional destinations.
Oranges Turn to Saddle Up is on Sunday, February 15. Racing Oranges Family Fun Day will be a fantastic day out for everyone. Free entertainment includes jumping castles, pony rides, face painting, plus fashions on the field and more. Sky Sports Radio and Sky Racing World have the mounting yard covered at Orange, Sunday, February 15.
For more on TAB Saddle Up Sundays, visit gocountryracing.com.au.
These days, it's okay to be a little crazy. Coco Joy is crazy about all things coconut and about bringing the joy back into everyday life. Coco Joy boasts a full range of products, including Coco Joy 100% coconut water. Naturally sweeter than the others, but with no added sugar, no hidden nasties, just full of goodness. Then there's Coco Joy coconut milk and Coco Joy Kids. Bring back the joy with Coco Joy. At a store near you or online at cocojoy.com.
The latest on the traffic for Rizzy, Rail Industry Safety Induction.
Want to start working in the rail industry? First get your Rail Industry Safety Induction card. Go to rizzy.com.au and kickstart your career in rail.
Well, good morning, everybody. That police operation from overnight at Picnic Point has been wrapped up. All lanes open and clear on Henry Lawson Drive. The late finishing roadworks have also been towed away from the Pacific Highway at Wurrunga. In the city later this morning, the Asian Cup celebrations will have the road closed at Pitt Street Mall. And in Newtown, King Street between Enmore Road and Sydney Park Road, later this afternoon there's going to be a march and southbound users will be detoured into Enmore Road. Michelle Bridges' 12-week body transformation kicks off this Monday. Shed the Christmas weight the right way and end summer on a high. Join now for the best 12 weeks of your life at 12wbt.com. That's the latest traffic, number one in racing, Sky Sports Radio.
Are you looking to buy or sell a thoroughbred? Maybe a broodmare, tried racehorse or even a yearling? Look no further than bloodstockauction.com, Australia's first 100% online auction. Horses go under the hammer from 7 p.m. the first and third Tuesday of every month. Catalogue available 5 days prior. Trading horses has never been easier. Log on and become a member today. Access to Bloodstock worldwide. bloodstockauction.com. Delivering the sales ring to you.
If you're after a skid steer loader that leads the way in quality, reliability and durability, then Toyota Material Handling has the right solution for you. That's because for earth moving and excavating, the Toyota Husky skid steer loader leads the pack. From 320 to a massive 900 kilogram capacity, get the Husky skid steer loader from Toyota Material Handling. It's that top dog in the dirt. Call 1-800-425-438 or visit Toyota Skid steerloader.com.au.
Big Radicki throws to dummy, gets rid of one. Riddell Soho, clear run to the mark. Can he get away from him? Soho! 5 metres, 3 metres, what a try!
Here comes Usain Bolt. Usain Bolt storming through. He takes it again. Blake gets the silver. Oh, he's retained his title in the most emphatic way.
Rashala to kill it.
Sky Sports Radio, this is the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Chock full of sporting news and views from around the country and around the world. Plus, have your say. Here's Ray Thomas and Stuart Clark.
8 minutes past eight on the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. SMSs, they're coming in. It's just we've created a monster here, eh? And we'll try and get sorry, to some of them. 0419 767 272 is the SMS number. Just before we get to horsey's names, there's one here from Sophie from Strathfield. I was worried about Sophie.
Sophie's back, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know where she's been. She might have been on holidays. I think Sophie's a guy in disguise, but you know, just some of her SMSs are very rough. But wondering if it took half a second for Mr. Smith, i.e. Jimmy, to join the bandwagon last night.
Socceroos?
Socceroos bandwagon. Look, Sophie, I don't think it took half a second. he jumped on the bandwagon after the first game, I think, and then
I think the whole nation has
Look, let's face it, he's a massive bandwagon, but with this one in particular, because, you know, the rivalry, rugby league, soccer, that sort of type stuff, but he's well and truly on it. He's, as is everyone.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, Stu, there's a few names coming in the SMS. There's some beauties here.
That's your definition, right?
Well, this one makes a bit of sense, actually. Stu, you could go with medium fast, but I like horsey reminiscing. That's for Master Monkey. Very clever, Master
Monkey.
Yeah,
it is. Reminiscing about horsies. Just horsey reminiscing. Yeah, okay, I can live with...
Surf race. Dodgy, unpredictable with only moderate pace by Sharky Dave.
Oh, gee, that's a bit harsh there, Sharky Dave. I am actually playing cricket today in a game for the SCG, and there will be a lot of moderate pace delivered. Actually, moderately slow pace will be delivered today.
And Ray from the Central Coast. Stu, name your horse Empty Pockets.
Empty Pockets, yeah, good idea. Look, with all due respect, keep sending them in. As I said, I'm happy to take them all, warning up to 10 o'clock. Glue Factory's winning for me at the moment.
Clark's Clanger from Ron from Rory.
Yeah.
Not keen.
I don't know. It's not catchy enough for me. I need something more catchy. Speaking of catchy, Serena Williams' performance last night, not surprisingly, took the tennis world by... didn't take it by storm, but took the Australian Open crown for a sixth time. Yeah. We'll talk to Leo Schlink shortly.
On your sport and your team, you're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend on Sky Sports Radio.
Yeah, it's Serena Williams, Stewie, her 19th major, 6-3, 7-6 against Maria Sharapova. She is a phenomenon. I think there's only two players now who have won more majors in women's tennis. Margaret Smith Court has 24 and Steffi Graf 22. Serena Williams, at times, there's no stopping her, and our man Leo Schlink did say last week that if her mind was on the game, she would win. She did. Leo's been good enough to join us. Leo, good morning.
Morning, Ray. Morning, Stu.
Yeah, well, she was dominant again last night, and in that sort of form, she's irresistible, Leo.
Yeah, she is. And Ray, the other thing, that this whole tournament, she's been ill, and I'm not sure if it was showing on free wear last night, but when they had the rain delay very early in the match, in the first set, Serena went inside, and the coughing attack that she had was, no other way to describe it other than violent. And there were concerns there for a while that she mightn't come back. She was coughing that badly. But when she came back, she won the next 6 points. To me, that showed exactly what her mindset is. And Sharapova knew that Serena was sick. There's nothing she could do about it. She was just a bulldozer last night. Once she gets that head of steam up, she just goes, and it takes something phenomenal to stop her. And clearly, Maria didn't have it last night.
She certainly did. And you mentioned just the head of steam and the sheer power. I was watching last night. She served at a first serve at 204 kilometres an hour. Roger Federer doesn't serve him that fast.
No, he doesn't. And she's... regarded as having the best serve in the history of the women's game, along with Margaret Court and Martina Navratilova, the two women ahead of her, as you said, Ray, that she lost 7 first set points for the match in almost 2 hours.
Amazing.
That is just freaky stuff. And that was the match on her racket right there, where she was able to, every time she got to love 30 down break points, she was able to get back across the line and keep her nose in front. And it was a really brave performance.
Leo, Stewie and I have been having a debate this morning, and I thought Maria was getting back into the game last night. Obviously, the tiebreak 7-6 was close. I thought there was momentum coming back her way. And what I'm trying to say, Leo, is why don't they have 5 sets for women in the majors?
Yeah, the momentum was definitely starting to move in Maria's direction, and she was still losing. So it would have been really interesting to see what would have happened if they had to play best of 5 sets.
I know it's an old debate, Leo, but why don't they play the 5? They used to play 5 sets in the WTA finals, didn't they?
They did, yeah. It wasn't that long ago they used to play the championship match would be best of 5 sets. And it's all mixed up in this whole thing of what they say is market appeal. And, the WTA itself has said, we're happy with best of 3. And you look back over the Australian Open scorelines in the women's final over the years, and there have been some really lopsided results. I think it's a fascinating debate, and it's just at the moment, like, they get equal prize money at most of the Grand Slams now, and if you go back and do it on a time basis, it really is tilted in favour of female players. I think they're pretty happy with their lot, to be honest with you.
But that's the bit that I'm disappointed about, is they get equal prize money, and I think they deserve equal prize money, but you've got to earn your equal prize money, and that means playing 5 sets. Otherwise, you're going for less. Mm. You're getting paid for not doing anything.
And the TV audience too, boys. Like, Leo, if that had gone into a third set and Maria had won, then it could have gone into a fourth set. Don't the advertisers then get value for money?
And I bet you the TV networks want it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I mean, Pat Cash has been on this for ages, saying that they should play best of 5 set. That's the only way if you want true equality to do this. And, he's very adamant about the whole thing. the other side of the argument is, as much as TV loves really close matches and something that they can really you know, get great ratings from, that they like compact scheduling as well, and hence the popularity as we'll go forward of fast four tennis. You'll see that take more and more, not at Grand Slam level, but in other levels of the game that are televised, because it makes it easy for them to schedule. You look at men's doubles now in the early rounds of the Australian Open and ATP events. The third set is always a tiebreak set of first to 10 points. That's purely because of scheduling.
Sure.
What about today, Leo? It's a big one tonight. Djokovic versus Murray, Novak Djokovic, Andy Murray. And to be fair, I know they're in the final, but they've been the form players of the tournament. Murray seems to be back to that stellar level of 2013, Leo, and all Djokovic. He's just Djokovic, isn't he?
He is. And Djokovic, two rounds ago, played an incredible match against Raonic, and then against Dan, as you'd expect, it was a cliffhanger, and he struggled a bit. It's going to be fascinating to see how he comes out of that. The guy, statistically, who plays in the second semi-final at the Australian Open with a day less to recover, has ended up, over the journey, winning more often in the championship match than the other fellow. So Murray was on that yesterday, even though he was the beneficiary of having an extra day to recover. He said, this is definitely wrong, that I should play both semi-finals on the same day, which led me to think that maybe Andy is stewing about something he can't control anyway. He's been in brilliant form, as you say. Djokovic is just Djokovic, normal service that you get from him basically for the past 5 years. Great to see Andy back. Give him a really big shot tonight. He's beaten Novak in the latter rounds of the Olympics, beat him at Wimbledon in the final, beat him in the US in the final. They have a great rivalry. I know it's 15-8 overall, but if you break it down in Grand Slam finals and Olympics, Andy actually has the edge 3-2.
Just on Andy and his wife, I think, is it Sears?
Kim Sears.
There's been a lot of made about her blow-up the other night. Did you think any of that?
There's a couple of things around us, Drew. They've had lip readers and all kinds of experts.
Yeah.
No one can conclusively say what she said.
Yeah.
Tennis is a passionate sport, and when you've got one of your best mates now working for the opposition and there's a bit of heat going at the match, and you see your partner out there, your fiancé, getting fired up and he's looking to you for support, as long as it doesn't become abusive, and since no one can actually say what she said, I'm fine with everything.
Sure.
You go back to Mirka Federer at the World Tour Finals. The week later, Stan and Roger are going to play for Switzerland on the same team, and there's Mirka having a dig at Stan. I don't have a problem with people getting involved from the outside unless it becomes obviously abusive and really nasty. And over the years, there's been plenty of chat go on, and that's why you'll see at the Australian Open, the players' boxes are at opposite ends of the court opposed to other places.
Leo, and Tab Fixed Odds, it's Djokovic $1.42, Andy Murray $2.90. I know you're a betting man. Is there that much disparity between the two of them tonight?
No, there's not. I think that Andy at those odds is great value. You can't eat value, but he is someone that he just loves defying people and proving people wrong. And he's had his game face on for, the whole of the summer. He's come out, did really well at the Hopman Cup. If you'd seen him play in November in London at the World Tour Finals, he got beaten 6-love, and he's trailing 5-love, 30-love on serve in the second set against Roger Federer. There is every indication that Roger just eased up to give him a game because he felt sorry for him. And here he is in the Australian Open Final because he's worked that hard, he's got his back right, he's got his camp right. This is a great opportunity for him. If he loses tonight, he's into Ken Rosewall territory. Ken lost 4 Wimbledon finals over a long, long journey. If Andy lost tonight, this would be his 4th Australian Open final defeat. So he's got so much to play for it. And I think right now he's got the momentum.
Leo, thank you for your time this morning. Enjoy the night. Novak Djokovic, $1.42. Andy Murray, $2.90. Certainly the summer of tennis about to come to its conclusion, but it's been thrilling thus far.
Thanks, Drew. Thanks, Ray.
Thanks, Leo.
There he is, Leo Schlink from the Daily Telegraph, talking about tennis.
$2.90
on Andy Murray.
Yeah.
Novak, he's Novak, let's face it. But he didn't exactly belt the house down the other night. He looked tired.
Yeah.
He looked...
Andy's looked focused, as Leo said. Oh, I'll have something on $2.90, I think.
Yeah? Oh, there you go. Ray Thomas says $2.90 is the number. I agree with Ray.
Hi, it's Mark Duplass. Every Monday morning, join me as we review the latest in greyhound racing on Going Greyhounds. There's greyhound racing news, fabulous flashbacks, breeding updates, valuable vets advice, and even some future winners from Australia's leading trainers. Cats every Monday morning at 10:30. Going Greyhounds on Sky Sports Radio.
Are you looking to buy or sell a thoroughbred? Maybe a broodmare, tried racehorse, or even a yearling? Look no further than bloodstockauction.com, Australia's first 100% online auction. Horses go under the hammer from 7 p.m. the first and third Tuesday of every month. Catalogue available 5 days prior. Trading horses has never been easier. Log on and become a member today. Access to Bloodstock worldwide. Bloodstockauction.com, delivering the sales ring to you.
These days, it's okay to be a little crazy. Coco Joy is crazy about all things coconut and about bringing the joy back into everyday life. Coco Joy's range of products include Coco Joy coconut milk. It really packs a punch in classic chocolate, coffee and banana flavours without the dairy. And it's gluten, soy and lactose free. Then there's Coco Joy 100% coconut water and Coco Joy Kids. Bring back the joy with Coco Joy at a store near you or online at cocojoy.com.
Got that sick feeling just thinking about how much money you owe? No money to enjoy life. If this sounds like you, give Capital Debt Solutions a call for a confidential chat about a government-legislated agreement that combines your debts into just one regular weekly repayment. Interest-free, tailored to your budget. Focused on a debt-free future. You deserve it. Capital Debt Solutions. Solutions for your financial freedom. 1300 107 155 or capitaldebtsolutions.com.au.
At the 400 metres mark, and Dree Fontaine heads up for home, leads the way by a length and a half to Thermal Current. That's a good idea. Then Malavio, Weary the inside, followed by Territory, and then Panzer Division and Boban down the outside. Dree Fontaine the leader at the 150 by a length and a half to Thermal Current. Malavio the inside, Panzer Division down the outside, Weary the inside. Dree Fontaine the leader from Weary and Territory. Dree Fontaine in front of Weary, and Dree Fontaine, Weary dived and got it. Weary on the line has nailed Dree Fontaine. Dree Fontaine looked home, but Weary's grabbed it on the peg to win. I'm not sure third. Territory's there. Malavio. And then we had Bagman beaten up, followed by Panzer Division.
Extraordinary win, Stu, because Weary never looked like he was going to catch Dree Fontaine until the last probably two or three hops, but a terrific effort. Great ride from Tommy Berry. Completed a feature-winning double for him yesterday. He also rode Vancouver in the Canonbury Stakes. Tom's been good enough to join us. Tom, good morning.
How are you, Ray?
Yeah, terrific, Tom. And is that right? You probably didn't think where he was going to get then to maybe the last 50 metres?
Yeah, last 500 metres. Kind of just felt like I was going to run into a nice fourth. And when he got inside Malavio, and it was like a bit of a challenge, he really pinned his ears back and hit the line well the last 100. But I guess you'd expect that from a horse that's looking to get to a mile. But off his trial, showed that he was sharp enough to... He went over 1,200 and he did so.
It's well documented. He just didn't come up last spring, and Criswell's done a few things different with the horse over the summer, and it showed yesterday he's back to the form where he ran a very good third for you in the Doncaster last year as favourite.
Yeah, he did, and that's when he was doing a few things wrong. And as Mr. Waller said, he couldn't really train where either way he wanted to, and... You're still able to have two Group 1 placings in that preparation. So always showed that he had his fair share of ability. And, I'm glad he's starting to show it now, because it's always nice to see beautiful people like Jeff and Mary Grimish get a nice horse. And hopefully they can get a Group 1 within this preparation.
Well, they own Weary, and, they're good people, and they own the horse. And I know your late brother used to do a lot of riding for them, but they're very special to you, the Grimish family.
Yeah, they are. They've been there the whole way, and they're Nathan's favourite people to ride for. So he always got a lot of pleasure out of winning races for Jeff and Mary, and they're more like family now than just friends. So it was very special to win the race from yesterday.
Well said, Tom. Also, we had Gay Waterhouse on earlier, Tom, and Vancouver, and you rode him to victory in the Canonbury Stakes. Can you just tell us what happened there in the last 50 metres when he seemed to, I told Stu, he did a Benji Marshall left foot step there, he went towards the winning post. Did he just catch sight of the winning post, did he?
Yeah, I think so. I'm glad he didn't go on with it. He's not that type of horse. He hasn't got a bad bone in his body. And as we've seen with Liberation, he did it over and over again. But that's not the sort of horse Vancouver is. He definitely sighted something, and he stepped away from one stride, and then he must have thought it was okay because he was happy to step back in then. So I'm glad he did because he caught me on the way through. But no, look, he's one of those horses. He when he won the Breeders' Plate, he obviously led and he had the fence to follow and he had the fence to follow in his trial. So it showed his adaptability of being able to come back and go around the field. And he just probably got a little bit lost when he hit the front. But he's a colt with untapped ability and obviously. Only having the one trial, which we rarely see gaze horses do, they usually have two. It shows that he's got a lot more improvement there heading towards the slipper. And gaze always about the grand final. She's told me that over and over again in my years of riding for her. So she'll have a fair bit left in the tank.
Tommy, when the horse does pull away like that, pull to one side, is it that split second where it's very, very nerve-wracking because you're not quite sure and you may not feel as you're in control?
Yeah, well, as I said, he didn't go on with it. If he went on with it, then it's a bit nerve-wracking. But it happened that quickly. I didn't even really have time to think about it. So, yeah, I was more pleased about winning it than what he was going to do. But as I said, he's one of them horses. He wouldn't do anything out of spite. He's just he's an honest horse, and he just got a little bit scared.
Tom, great couple of days for you. Two winners at Warwick Farm on Friday. Two winners, as I said, two feature winners yesterday. Plus, you've picked up the ride on the Japanese raider Tosin Stardom at the championships this autumn, primarily the QE Stakes. That must have been an exciting pickup ride for you.
Yeah, it is. I had a quiet month, a couple of months ago, but the last couple of months have really started to pick up and... I've started to pick up some really nice rides outside of Gay Stable, which is really good. And the Japanese horse, Tosin Stardom, was one of them. And they contacted me about a month ago. Via Mr. Masara. And I was very pleased to get the call up, especially for a stayer. You know, their horses, their stayers are very superior to ours. And they're going to be competitive in whatever they go in.
Absolutely.
Tommy, thank you for your time this morning. Well done yesterday on Weary, and good luck for the races ahead.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks, Tom.
There he is, Tommy Berry. Good jockey, raid Weary to a victory yesterday. And as you said, he's got a couple of starts in the championships coming up.
He's riding in terrific form. And I know that there's an air of confidence, not only with Gay Waterhouse, but also Tommy Berry, about Vancouver and the Golden Slipper, Stu.
1353 is the open line number. We're going to go there now and have a chat to Keith, who wants to talk about the boxing last night. Morning, Keith.
I think we might have got Keith there, Stewie. Yeah. Keith, good morning.
No, he's not there. He's on the line, and we're just having some trouble getting across. There he is. Morning, Keith.
Good morning, boys. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Keith. Just want to talk a bit about that boxing. Some of the fights were really, really good, and some of them were just a joke, I think.
Did you watch them all, did you, Keith?
Yeah, I watched all of them.
Okay. Stewie's made a very valid point, I thought, this morning, in that... obviously, the footy players, SBW and Paul Gallen, get all the headlines and all the media attention, but there's probably some really good fighters on the undercard.
Yeah, there was a couple of good, really good fights. A young Australian and I think it was an Indonesian flipper. That was a good fight. I enjoyed that.
What did you make of SBW?
Well, I thought it was a bit of a joke, actually.
Yeah. Did you?
He did fight well, but I think they should need to put a fighter in with him to see how he really goes.
What about the bloke he fought?
Oh, well, he wasn't even fit.
He could take a punch, though, Keith, couldn't he?
He could take a punch, but he didn't look to have any power in his punches.
He was
past his best, I think.
Yeah, he was past your best.
I think there's a little quote in the paper this morning by, I think it was from Ray Hadley last night, because he must have been there. It was like...
He commentated, yeah.
Yeah, it was like the before and after shots. You know when you get those fit commercials that if you do 2 minutes of abdominal work, you look into the really muscly guy, so you turn up as the big fat guy two minutes a day for a week and you look like that bloke?
That's right.
That's about what it was.
But he had some ring smarts, didn't he, Keith? Because he basically, even though he took a lot of punishment from Sonny Bill, he kept walking up. Sonny Bill didn't seem to hurt him.
No, how could you hurt him? He had plenty of weight there to block it.
Yeah, Keith, appreciate your call this morning. Thank you for that. He went to thought about the boxing last night. My thoughts, I think, as well there, Keith. It's great to see them fight. I've got no problem with them doing it. Good luck if they can earn a quid out of it. Good luck to them. I just feel sorry for the guys that sit below that are trying to, professional boxers, not football blokes. And
you know what that bloke I see is the most unfittest fight I've ever seen, in such a word. I can recall reading about Joe Louis when he knocked out a bloke called two-ton Tony Galinto, who I reckon was bigger than Chauncey last night.
Yep.
It's a classic picture of Joe Louis with one of his famous left hooks putting two-ton Tony off the canvas, literally, and he was a monster of a bloke, and I'd say Chauncey was a bit fitter than him, Stewie.
He certainly was. 13-53-53 is the open line number. It's 8:30 on the Big Sports Breakfast weekend.
Showers of possible storm tops of 27. Good morning, I'm Gemma Bath. Socceroos fans and players have spent the night celebrating after the Australian national football team won its first ever piece of silverware. The 76,000 people at ANZ Stadium were made to wait for the victory after the home side conceded a late goal, forcing the Asian Cup final into extra time. But the Socceroos stood tall again to eventually beat South Korea 2-1. Mel and James travelled from Canberra and say they're beyond proud.
Fantastic game, yeah. Definitely. When we got the second goal, it was just amazing. Yeah.
Very tense when we scored the second goal. I thought, oh no, here we go again. Like, please don't let them score another one. But no, it was awesome to see. And
the fans might have sore heads this morning, but they're being asked to head down to Pitt Street Mall from 10 to celebrate with the victorious team. A second Japanese hostage being held by Islamic State has been beheaded. Journalist Kenji Goto is seen kneeling in the clip, dressed in an orange outfit. The executioner appears to be the man known as Jihadi John, speaking with an English accent. Senior government ministers are continuing to show their support for the Prime Minister despite a disastrous federal opinion poll and a poor result for the LNP in the Queensland state election. The latest Galaxy survey shows the coalition trails Labor 57% to 43% two-party preferred, while Tony Abbott's approval rating has fallen to 27%. In Queensland, the LNP is on track to lose government after just one term. Labor leads the ballot 44 seats to 33, with 70% of votes counted. Deputy Prime Minister Warren Truss has told Sky it's nothing the federal coalition can't overcome under Mr Abbott's leadership.
I have confidence in the ambition that the Prime Minister has for this country, his dedication and commitment. I believe he has a genuine determination to make sure that we make the changes that are necessary to provide quality services for Australian people.
The government's taxpayer-funded marriage counselling scheme is expected to be scrapped within days. The Telegraph reports the policy is being shelved and resources will be funnelled into social services. Couples who have already signed up have until June to use their $200 vouchers. And briefly, police are appealing for witnesses after a man on a scooter was hit by a car at Woolooware about 4 yesterday afternoon. The collision was at the corner of Woolooware Road and Coronia Avenue. In sport, and returning to our top story, the Socceroos are vowing to use their Asian Cup success to spur them on to future international victories. The team finally has something to put in the trophy cabinet at Football Federation Australia headquarters after beating South Korea 2-1 at ANZ Stadium last night. Coach Ange Postecoglou says it's just the beginning of his team's journey.
Yeah, it's all about leaving watermarks along the way, and we've left a pretty high one now, and whatever we do from now on, we kind of know the standard and we want to be better.
Serena Williams has claimed her sixth Australian Open crown after beating Maria Sharapova in the final, Craig Gabriel reports.
Serena Williams is closing in on the Open era record of Grand Slam titles held by Steffi Graf, who has 22. Williams won her 19th, putting her clear into second place. The world number one beat Maria Sharapova 6-3, 7-6, with that second set proving to be incredibly enthralling that saw Sharapova saving two match points. On her third match point, Williams served what was believed to be an ace, but it was called a let, so she went back and served again. This time it was an ace. It was her 18th. Craig Gabriel, Melbourne, Macquarie National News.
Australia's Cricket World Cup preparation will continue today when the team plays England in the one-day tri-series final at the Wacker. Cycling legend Cadel Evans will ride for the last time today. The 2011 Tour de France champion is the main draw card at the Great Ocean Road Race. This is Macquarie National News. It's 26 to 9.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
A shower or two today, tops of 25 degrees on the coast, 27 in the west. A shower or two and becoming windy tomorrow. Right now in town it's 20 degrees, humidity's at 77%. It's 19 in Bankstown, 15 at Campbelltown, 18 degrees at Gosford, Penrith and Richmond, and 12 at Katoomba.
Are you looking to buy or sell a thoroughbred? Maybe a broodmare, tried racehorse or even a yearling? Look no further than bloodstockauction.com, Australia's first 100% online auction. Horses go under the hammer from 7 p.m. the first and third Tuesday of every month. Catalogue available 5 days prior. Trading horses has never been easier. Log on and become a member today. Access to Bloodstock worldwide. Bloodstockauction.com, delivering the sales ring to you.
G'day, I'm Darren Lehman, coach of the Australian cricket team. Coaches play an important role at every level of sport, from beginners right through to the top athletes. But coaching can be tough, especially if you don't know what a good coach actually does. The Australian Sports Commission offers a free online coaching course to help build confidence and improve the skills of community coaches, no matter what the sport. Just search online coaching course. Good coaches never stop learning, and that's a big part of what makes sport so enjoyable for everyone.
Got that sick feeling just thinking about how much money you owe? No money to enjoy life. If this sounds like you, give Capital Debt Solutions a call for a confidential chat about a government-legislated agreement that combines your debt into just one regular weekly repayment. Interest-free, tailored to your budget. Focused on a debt-free future. You deserve it. Capital Debt Solutions. Solutions for your financial freedom. 1300 107 155 or capitaldebtsolutions.com.au.
Sundays just don't feel right without a dose of the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend on Sky Sports Radio.
Well, we heard from Tommy Berry earlier, Stewie, about Weary, and it was good to see the horse back to something like his best form. Well, I think he was back to his best yesterday. His trainer, Chris Waller, is joining us this morning. Chris, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Morning, listeners.
It's terrific to have that horse back, Chris, because he showed so much ability in the autumn of last year. He's third in the Doncaster, second in the All Age. But, Chris, he, as you said in your words, he just didn't come up in the spring.
No, he didn't. And just to explain to the listeners, he's a very quirky horse. Basically does what he wants to do. And for whatever reason, he doesn't like doing his hard work, his galloping. And I guess that's a bit like all of us.
That's to say, sounds like me, yeah.
Most of us, we've got a good coach, we get they entice the best out of us.
Mm.
But this horse has been really stubborn and quite often refused to work. So he'd be working off, getting up to quite a quick speed, and he'll just absolutely put the brakes on, stop, and want to come home. And trying to get him to turn around and go the other way, the right way, was impossible. So we tried our best and changed his work around so that we were getting him fit enough to race, but I just don't think that was the problem. I think it was the headspace he was in. So it's not just us that has a few problems with the horses as well.
And Chris, Ray was telling me that you had to get a pony or something to go out on the track with him or go stand next to him or something.
Yeah, that's exactly right, and I don't know how to explain it, but a lot of good trainers have done the same in the past, and it's the first time I've done it. Mm. But he's a companion; he goes out onto the track or say onto the sports ground with him, and gets him started into his work. And for whatever reason, once they're up to that top speed, they're pretty right. Mm. So. Yeah, he's doing his job and he's getting where he worked, and then he's waiting for where he when he finishes his work, and they walk back together like a couple of gentlemen.
Yeah. Chris, I've heard of stallions having quirky natures. Is it unusual for a gelding like Weary to be sort of cantankerous like he can be?
Quite often, gelding will do the trick.
Yeah,
and he was a colt when we first got him, and a real handful, and we got him gelded straight away. And that's when he had that good form last autumn. But it seemed to wear off. He came back to his bad habits last autumn. And look, these things could be telling us something. That quite often they might be a bit sore or things like that, but we can't see it.
Mm.
But yeah, something was obviously just worrying him, but he's in the right space again now and hope he stays there.
He trained your 100th winner yesterday. That must have been a... Look, it's a number, but a little bit of a monkey on the back there. Got rid of it now.
Yeah, probably not bad as your 100th.
we're a few throws at the stump, and but yeah, it's important that the show keeps rolling. You know what it's like when you're involved in a good team.
Sure,
you're expected to perform every week. There's no such thing as Chris having a bad day or Australia having a bad day if they're at the top of the game. So I'm always conscious of that, and it's good to keep winners rolling along.
Well, on that score, Chris, I know Weary won the race. You did have four other runners. Bagman ran seventh, Beaten Up eighth, Boban ninth, Hawkspur tenth in the Expressway Stakes. But I know you were particularly pleased with the runs of Bagman and Beaten Up, the comeback horse.
Yeah, well, they're middle distance horses, stayers, as we'd say, and they were running over 1,200 metres, and Weary's a proven horse, but so is Prefontaine, the second horse, and for them to get within three lengths and be flashing home was a really good, sign for their future runs. So,
Boban, Chris, what'd you make of him? We know he's a super talent when he's on his game.
Yeah, touch disappointing. You can often forgive their first up runs because they are a little bit soft, and it's like a sports team going out for their pre-season game to some degree. He's had two trials, which would be your pre-season games, but your first match, they're just a bit rusty, and that's my excuse for him this week, and there'll be no excuse in 2 weeks' time.
Hey, Chris, they're on again next week, and as I said to Stewie earlier, we're pretty much in the autumn carnival now, even though it's still summer. The Breeders' Classic next week, are you intending to run Catkins and Aranos, your two good grey mares?
Yeah, they will. Mm-hmm. They're both back ready to go, and Aranos is probably a bit like Weary. She's been missing for a while, but I've been happy with her trials, and Catkins, she's just a foolproof horse. She does not know how to run a bad race, and probably last preparation, a length below her best form, but she still was winning and placing, and looks a lovely race for her to resume, and she'll be carrying a nice weight, considering all the races she's won, and it's what they call a set weights and penalties race, but really helps a horse like her to get started. Mm.
Certainly does. Chris, thank you for your time this morning. Well done yesterday with Weary and also on your 100th winner, and we'll speak to you again shortly.
Thanks, boys.
Thanks, Chris.
There he is, Chris Waller. As I said, he's on the list of things that I need.
You want your horse trained by Chris, don't you?
I just like him in his suit there when he's getting interviewed, and he looks really uncomfortable.
Well, he wins a lot of races all the time.
And I could be one of those winners.
You could be. See, we've got 3 weeks to go here, Stu. I'm going to get you on a horse.
We're trying. 1353 53 is the open line number. We're going there now with David. Good morning, David.
Hi, boys.
Morning, Dave.
Just one thing I just want to comment. I wasn't going to talk to Chris Waller.
Mm-hmm.
I said once before on your station, I just think he's the most humble, most impressive person in racing I've seen for a long time. And my absolute hero is Bart Cummings, and there will never be another Cummings. Never, ever, ever. But I think this guy is a modern-day Cummings.
Yeah, well, Dave, a lot of people believe that, and you're 100% right. The Chris Waller from 10 years ago when he was battling with a couple of horses at the provincials, the Chris Waller today, there's no change. He, despite all his extraordinary success during the last 4 or 5 years, he's still humble to a fault. And no, you're 100% right, Dave.
Just I read a very interesting, and he's so keen to learn. I've read Bart Cummings, he wrote an autobiography. And he talked about, he asked Rick Orlacy once. Rick Orlacy does a lot of training with horses, you know, at the beach.
Yep.
And he asked Rick Orlacy about it, and Rick Orlacy was stunned that Bart Cummings would ask him, want his opinion on, working horses. Bart says, it doesn't matter how good you are, once you think you can't learn anymore.
Exactly right. And that applies to anything in life.
That applies to everything, Dave.
Yeah.
Appreciate your call, Dave. Thanks for that.
I think you want to talk about the tennis, actually. But
He did, but we'll get Dave can call in again hopefully next week. And the tennis won't be on. He can talk about the men's final. Call the boys during the week. TK and Slats, they'll be in here from 5:30 to 9 every day of the week this week. So, look, there's plenty going on. Glenn's on the line. He wants to talk about the boxing. Good morning, Glenn.
Hello, boys. How are you?
Good, thank
you. Oh, mate, love your show, fellas. Too good.
You're halfway to get the hat there, Glenn, but keep going.
Or DVD. What do you want? What do you want, Glenn?
Oh, mate, gotta be joking, mate. That Sonny Bill Williams fight. I was on a high watching the soccer.
Yep.
And I was at my local club with the boys, and we put it on another screen. I could not believe what I witnessed.
What was he doing in the ring?
Seriously, is that guy an athlete that took on Sonny. He was mucking around, wasn't he?
Well, I don't know, you know, Glenn, because I'm a bit of a boxing nut, like obviously you, it sounds like you are, and I was watching it pretty closely, particularly the last three or four rounds. He took a lot of punishment off Sonny Bill, didn't take a backward step. He's fought Klitschko, he fought Tyson as a younger man. He's got some ring smart, so...
I'll tell you what he's got, mate. Yeah. He needs a 20 double D.
Look, there's been a lot of...
He's Glenn, got the man boobs going, hasn't he?
There's been a lot of talk about man boobs in this studio this morning, Glenn, because he certainly had a pair. You still there?
He might have lost
to Glenn. Appreciate your call, Glenn. Thank you for that. Yeah, look, it's been discussed a lot about
his physique. Why you got in the ring in the first place, but yeah, it's extraordinary.
It's absolutely extraordinary. But yeah, full credit to him. It's a tough sport to get in that boxing ring and get punched a few times.
If Gallops Racing is your fancy, you'll get it all on Sky Sports Radio. We're with New South Wales Racing all the way from Racing HQ.
Well, we've got plenty of thoroughbred meetings today. We urge people to get along and enjoy it.
Trainers and jockeys supply vital info.
He's in super form and I think he's a genuine each way champ.
Form experts, we've got the best. You got me around your fingers. Racing is 7 days a week and Sky Sports Radio doesn't miss a beat.
Big moments are made easy with a graduate of this year's Magic Millions Perth Yearling Sale from February 17. An outstanding selection of yearlings by a wide range of local and interstate sires. From a sale that has produced Group 1 stars Magnificio and Moment of Change, all yearlings offered are eligible for the $11.19 million Magic Millions Race Series. Find racing's next superstar at the Perth Yearling Sale February 17 and 18. For more information and to view the online catalogue, visit magicmillions.com.au.
These days, it's okay to be a little crazy. Coco Joy is crazy about all things coconut and about bringing the joy back into everyday life. Coco Joy's range of products include Coco Joy coconut milk. It really packs a punch in classic chocolate, coffee and banana flavours without the dairy, and it's gluten, soy and lactose free. Then there's Coco Joy 100% coconut water and Coco Joy Kids. Bring back the joy with Coco Joy at a store near you or online at cocojoy.com. On Sky Sports Radio, your weekend is packed with sporting news from around the country and around the world. This is the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
Welcome back to the program. Just watching the replay of the Sharks v the Broncos. 70-0 to the Sharks over the Broncos yesterday in the Auckland Nines. I actually rang Fox and said, can you just put the game on so I could watch again? Plenty of SMSs coming in, 0419 767 272, 0419 SMS BSB, about the name of my horsey. Can't bowl, can't bat. Can't bat, can't bowl.
Yes, pretty tough.
Jack from Cowra. It's a horse. Who cares if it can't bat and bowl, Jack? Sir Bentley? Or just Bentley? I don't get it.
Kay at Coffs Harbour. Maybe Kay can ring in and tell us what she means. What about Stuart's Law?
Yeah, not bad. I saw Coffee Cup still winning for my one, but, you know. Ray's fault.
Yeah, Pete from Lake Haven, he's nailed that one. That should cover you, Stu.
All right, there's another one. There's an SMS. There's a tweet that's come in from at Big Sports Wend. It says, you can blame Ray.
That's fair enough.
You can blame Ray. You can blame Ray down the outside.
That's a good name, isn't it?
Yeah, you can blame Ray.
Here's one, Dave from Penshurst on the boxing. Morning, gents. It's a very good point. So two-edged sword with these young boxers. Yes, they do get dwarfed by the footy players in publicity, but they would be very unlikely to get a TV bout in front of a big crowd if it wasn't for the footballers. So that's a good point from Dave. And
they
get some exposure, and hopefully it leads to bigger and better things.
Yeah, it certainly does. Speaking of exposure, last night at Stadium Australia, there was plenty of exposure for the Socceroos. They're exposed in the 90th minute. They exposed South Korea, or the Korean Republic, a couple of times to win the match 2-1. And a man that was on the sidelines was Andy Pascalese. He joins us now. Good morning, Andy.
Good morning, gents.
How are you feeling? Is the euphoria died down at all?
I was a good boy last night. I didn't go out celebrating. At the boys ended up at the marquee at all.
Who are the boys? Night. Are the boys like the team? Is that what you're talking about?
The team, yeah. The team were out celebrating. And as you would. Someone
got
dusty this morning, Stuart, because they've got a public
good luck to them.
At 10 o'clock to coincide with the conclusion of our show at Westfield, Pitt Street Mall.
Andy, we've been discussing the win, the Asian Cup, all morning. What does this mean for Australian soccer?
Oh, look, it's a significant boost. We've got to be realists as well. It's not as big, obviously, as the World Cup or the European Championship, but or South American Championship in some eyes. But for our region, and given how we've slid into three digits in world rankings, and we were the 10th ranked Asian country, I think it's very, very important that we lifted the title and to make up for 2011 when we lost to Japan in extra time.
Certainly. Now, our ranking will certainly lift.
Yeah, I reckon, Stewie, I'd say about 30, 35 places.
So go to about 65 or something like that.
Yeah, we should be there or thereabouts, but what a dramatic game it was.
Wasn't it
unbelievable to watch, wasn't
it? Well, it was won, and then it was lost in the 90th minute, but then it was won again just through sheer determination, I think.
And, look, some people aren't Tommy Urich fans. I've watched him week in, week out at the Wanderers. Yes, he might have been able to jag a goal or two last night, but what he did to set up the clincher for Troisi, it just underlined the spirit, determination, the physicality of the Australians. South Korea technically better. They had their moments in the first half in particular. But guys like Sainsbury at the back and Sporanovic and Matty Ryan has gone to another level since the World Cup in my eyes. I think the consistency of playing European football, learning from a couple of mistakes he made at the World Cup in Brazil, he was on top of his game last night.
Andy, Timmy Cowell went off in the 63rd minute. There is apparently a rumour around he may make a significant announcement about his playing future in the next 24 hours. But firstly, why did he come off? And secondly, do you know much about this announcement re his future?
In regards to coming off, Timmy gave everything he could. He came close to scoring, as we saw in the first half. Didn't get a ball in the box for him to head, which was really bizarre. I don't remember a game where he didn't get a decent cross. Davidson wasn't able to push forward down that left as much as usual. He was being really troubled by the Koreans. But Timmy ran out of gas, and watching him off the ball, he was running, harassing defenders when they had possession and did a great job. In terms of his future, I'm hearing this morning that he could be making a significant announcement regarding China. My concern was that maybe he might be saying, well, I'll finish on top as an Asian Cup winner and retire from the Socceroos. I really believe he still has something to offer. I think we all do. I think we need him for the next World Cup qualifying campaign.
Yeah, we're certainly hoping that way. Premier League overnight, round 23, or 8 games. Chelsea-Man City finishing in a 1-1 draw.
Yeah, and Chelsea ended up without Diego Costa, Fabregas and Felipe Luis, but David Silva equalised for Man City just on the stroke of half-time. 8 games played, no major shocks. Queen's Park Rangers battling, of course, down at the bottom. 11 out of 11 losses on the road. They crashed at Stoke. Poor old Mark Schwarzer conceding 3 at Old Trafford. Manchester United beat Leicester City 3-1 to bounce back after Leicester had beaten them 5-3 at home earlier this season. Liverpool, good news for Liverpool fans. Daniel Sturridge came off the bench, his first appearance since August, and he sealed a 2-0 win against the Hammers. He scored in the 81st after Sterling in the 51st. And other winners were Newcastle, Everton, Sunderland, Tottenham 3-0 away at West Brom. Kane scoring 2 goals. That's 20 goals now in all competitions for Harry Kane.
It certainly is. Now, today, Melbourne City play the Wanderers. Your team, the Wanderers, and tomorrow, the Roar take on the Phoenix. What are your tips there?
I think I'll go for the draw today. Melbourne City are without some key players, including Josh Kennedy. He was expected to make his debut. And the Wanderers have never lost to Melbourne City in 6 games. They've won 5 of those. And Brisbane Roar against Wellington. Roar and Wellington will welcome back international players. But I think Wellington will just get across the line in Brisbane.
Andy, the break did Sydney FC the world of good. We saw that last week. They came back in great form against Central Coast Mariners, 5-1. Can we see something from the Wanderers today?
And that's the question that everyone's waiting for, because, yeah, we celebrate in the glory of Australia's Asian Cup success, and, of course, let's not forget, we also have the club champions of Asia, but a winless side, 12 starts, 4 points, all of those coming at home, and 6 losses on the road, conceding 13 goals, unheard of. But, you know, looking at their side today, Brendan Santelab returns. Yojiro Takahagi, Japanese signing, comes in. Sadly, Nicky Kalmar, his injury replacement contract has ended. And Tommy Urich and Sporanovic, well, there's no chance that they'll be involved today, of course.
Andy, thank you for your time this morning. We'll speak to you again. You'll speak to the boys during the week.
Another great day to be in Australia.
Good on you, Andy.
There he is, Andy Pascal. He's Melbourne City v Western Sydney. The draw's paying $3.40. Andy's tipped the draw. And Brisbane Roar v Wellington. He's tipped Wellington, who are paying $2.75. The Roar, $2.35. 1353 53 is the open line number. We'll go to Liz. Good morning, Liz.
Good morning. Well, your initials are SC.
Yes.
So how about Smart Choice? For your horse.
I like that. That's a nice one. Liz. Liz, smart choice.
See, Liz, that's a sensible choice rather than these ridiculous...
Yeah, silly names.
Yeah.
Just nice and simple, smart choice.
Smart choice.
You can imagine smart choice storming down the outside street. So
exactly.
That rolls off the tongue. Well done,
In
Liz.
The Melbourne Cup. Smart choice and me and holding my Melbourne Cup. You're getting a prize, Liz. Stay on the line. Stay on the line. I'm not sure what it is. It'll be... Jeremy can decide. I'll leave it up to him out there. He's just looking at me going, oh, God, don't do that to me.
We've got no prizes left here. A couple more SMSs are coming through here. Stu,
sure.
Some good ones here, as usual. If you name the horse after Stewie, it would be, oh, you had a can't bat, can't ball, Jack from Cowra. Master Monkey's coming with a beauty here, Stu. Stu, I've got it. Machiavelli's mate. The horse would need the ability to detach itself from conventional morality. Cunning, scheming, unscrupulous, i.e. player negotiations, and the law thread is also a natural link. Machiavelli's mate, what do you think?
He puts a lot of thought into that, doesn't he, Master Monkey?
Yeah. Or, I'll be on your horse every time it goes around. Stewie, this is from Steve from Megalong. I know you'll want to collect. You'll get hooked in the greatest sport of all.
Yeah,
You're getting there slowly, aren't you?
Yeah. Look, just don't get too far ahead of us. but you know, you can go really simple, like Shane. We'll call it the narc,
yes.
which I think is a bit over the top. You know, I'm not that bad, surely.
No, you're fine. Darren from Macquarie Fields on the cricket. He said, "Morning, guys. I think Adrian should be renamed Mr. Negative. I can't remember the last time he said anything good about anything. I'm not sure. I'm new to this part of the show, Stewie. But anyway, one day cricket can still provide exciting endings. Faulkner last year at the Gabba, absolutely.
Correct.
What about Maxwell's last over against Pakistan late last
yes.
year? It's true. Also, with the Nines, Para and the Sharks, look, the two best teams to him yesterday, and his boys, Souths, not great, maybe just timing our run. What, as I said, I didn't see any of it yesterday, Stewie.
It's so hard to tell.
Yeah.
Like, the teams that had their traditional halves, they looked pretty good. I thought Manly looked pretty good, and they ended up winning one game, but you know, they had Foran and Jerry Evans out there. Souths have got Reynolds running the show for them. Parramatta got Sandow running it. Wade Graham sort of doing it for the Sharks. Guys that have played a bit of NRL, just, you know, a bit calmer under pressure, and the game is a bit...
Anything can happen, can't
it? It's so
remember
fast.
Last year, the Warriors looked the dominant team right through until the final, and the Cowboys knocked them off.
Yeah, the Cowboys knocked them off.
Anything could happen today. I'm looking forward to watching
it. Yeah, anything can happen. Just on the cricket, if you want to have a look at the game this afternoon, which is at 2:20 Sydney time, Australia are paying $1.40 and England are paying $3 on the head-to-head market. So Australia, well and truly favourites. The pitch at the WAC is going to be the difference there. We've got Johnson, Stark, Faulkner, and I feel they'll play Pat Cummins. I just think they'll play him. Four out and out, or three out and out, real quick bowlers. I think England may struggle.
If you're George Bailey, you win the toss. Do you bat or do you bowl? Johnson's can be unleashed.
I'd always bat. I think the wicket's pretty flat. You bat, and you know we'll be more used to it than they are.
Yep.
And then once you get them in there in the evening, a little bit of breeze up too for Mitchell Johnson and Stark to bowl with. And with that Fremantle Doctor, which does blow across, it's ideal for left-armers. That's why there's been so many good left-armers out of Western Australia. The breeze just helps them swing the ball.
How'd you go with the Whacker?
I used to bowl. I got very early on in my career pigeonholed as the guy that had to bowl into the wind. That's why I'm
happy about that.
Well, it got to the stage... we've got the stage where I did it for like 10 years, and it was fine because it was a real...
Let McGrath go from the other end, Brett Lee.
Well, yeah, they used to bowl with it. You know, I was just the young old bloke in the Australian, but I did it at state cricket as well, and got to the stage where I was... My last year, I was captain of New South Wales, and I thought, I'm going to have a go downwind this year. Then I was coming out, what are you doing? And I said, I can't bowl from the wind's too strong. I used to look at these kids and say, listen, guys, I did this for 10
the
years.
The Fremantle Doctor.
Yeah, get into it. Just get used to it. So it's one of those things. It's a very unique place to play. And when you hear so much talk about, Western, we've got to get knocked the whacker down and it needs work. And yeah, it does. It needs all of that. But unless they can keep, they've got to find a way to keep the centre square,
yeah,
because there's nothing else like it in the world. No matter where I've played, that is unique.
I know we always talk about the bowling aspect of it, and it does provide a tremendous assistance for the fast bowlers, but when a batsman gets in at the whacker, it's a place to make runs. Remember Mark and Steve Waugh had that massive partnership of 450-odd? The day Gilchrist went berserk against England, almost the equal fastest 100 ever, once you get in at the whacker, Stu, runs can be made. So that's why today it'll be interesting to see what sort of pitch they turn up for Mitchell Johnson. It'll be flat, like most ODI wickets are. So, in England, Ian Bell's batting really well, so it's not over the line Australia by any
means. No, they're not. They're well and truly favoured. It's a beautiful place to play cricket, batting and bowling-wise. I'll give you a little tip. That day that Adam Gilchrist scored that 100, we were all sitting in the change rooms, and there were certain guys batting after Adam that were not overly excited when he first went in and nicked and nudged and missed a few. And let me tell you, by the 35th ball,
they all wanted to go in.
Mate, everyone was cheering as loud as you could, imagine.
Yeah,
it was
one of the greatest...
It was a great innings, and I was lucky to be part of it. Coming after the 9 o'clock news, we'll talk to Graham Arnold about Sydney FC. It's the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Stewie and Ray.
Gemma Bass. The Socceroos have captured the attention of the football world after a breakthrough Asian Cup win over South Korea. Danielle Pogson has more on the historic victory.
Green and gold glitter has showered down from the ceiling of ANZ Stadium, marking the beginning of a new era for Australian football. After 93 years without a shining trophy, the Socceroos triumphed 2-1 over South Korea to show the world they're a force to be reckoned with. James Troisi and Massimo Luongo are the men at the moment after netting the goals that got the Aussies over the line. 22-year-old Luongo is hoping to be a Socceroo for many years to come.
No words can describe because everyone put a shift in.
Danielle Pogson, Macquarie National News.
The victorious players will be on show at Pitt Street Mall this morning. Socceroos fans are being asked to head there from 10 to help celebrate with the team. Labor is on track to form government in Queensland after a dramatic swing against the LNP in the state's election. With 70% of votes counted, Labor is leading the government 44 seats to 33. It's a dramatic turnaround for the ALP, which was left with just 7 seats after the last poll 3 years ago. Opposition leader Anastasia Palaszczuk says she's ready to step into the top job.
Who would have thought 3 years ago we would be making history tonight?
Premier Campbell Newman lost his own seat as voters abandoned his party after just one term. He says he will now retire from politics.
The LNP team will meet at the first opportunity to elect a new leader.
The Prime Minister's approval rating has plunged in the wake of a week of leadership speculation, Stuart Perry reports.
Since the controversial knighting of Prince Philip, Tony Abbott has been plagued by rumours of a potential leadership spill, and the lack of courage within the coalition is reflecting on the voters. The latest Galaxy poll shows 27% of people prefer Mr Abbott as Prime Minister, compared to Bill Shorten, who has 44% of the vote. It also reveals the coalition's primary vote has plunged to just 36% two-party preferred. Stuart Perry, Macquarie National News.
Childcare rebates could be in for a shake-up. The Telegraph reports Social Services Minister Scott Morrison has conceded that spending has failed to boost workforce participation. The taxpayer-funded marriage counselling voucher scheme also appears to be on the way out. The Islamic State group has released a video showing the beheading of Japanese hostage Kenji Goto. Military consultant Mike Lyons says the executioner says in the clip, "Let the nightmare for Japan begin."
ISIS is grounded in being a terrorist organization and ruling through terror and shocking the world without the same set of values that most of the civilized world has at this point. So they don't see this as a life that's lost. They see this as part of their mission.
A woman has been charged and a man critically injured after an accident in Sydney South. The 54-year-old scooter rider suffered serious head and internal injuries after he collided with the woman's car yesterday at the intersection of Woolooware Road and Coronia Avenue. She's been charged with negligent driving, occasioning grievous bodily harm. And a teenager has been winched to safety after falling from a cliff in the Royal National Park. To sport, and returning to our top story, as Australia's players spent the night celebrating their Asian Cup win, South Korea was coming to terms with a heartbreaking loss. The visitors scored a last-minute goal to force the game into extra time, but it wasn't enough, with the Socceroos retaking the lead. Korean coach Yuli Stalike says his team can hold its head high, knowing it did everything it could.
Our players played today. We are also champions of a lot of hearts.
Serena Williams is within reach of Steffi Graf's Grand Slam record after winning her 6th Australian Open and 19th championship. Williams beat Maria Sharapova in the final 6-3, 7-6 last night. She's now closing in on the all-time record of 22 titles.
I would love to get there, but I have to get to 20 first. And then I have to get to 21, and there's so many wonderful young players coming up. So it'll be a very big task.
Novak Djokovic will be playing for a record 5th men's crown when he plays Andy Murray tonight. This is Macquarie National News. It's 9:04. Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
A shower or two today, tops of 25 degrees on the coast, 27 in the west. A shower or two and becoming windy tomorrow. Right now in town it's 20 degrees, humidity's at 77%. It's 19 in Bankstown, 15 at Campbelltown, 18 degrees at Gosford, Penrith and Richmond, and 12 at Katoomba.
If Gallops Racing is your fancy, you'll get it all on Sky Sports Radio. We're with New South Wales Racing all the way from Racing HQ.
Well, we've got plenty of thoroughbred meetings today. We urge people to get along and enjoy it.
Trainers and jockeys supply vital info.
He's in super form, and I think he's a genuine each way champ.
Form experts, we've got the best. You got me around your fingers. Racing is 7 days a week, and Sky Sports Radio doesn't miss a beat.
It's time for the 2015 Super Bowl. And at the tap, all you need is a touchdown in the big game. If you back any player in the first touchdown market and they don't score first, but score later on in the game, we'll give you your money back. That's right, we will give you your money back. Get on at your local tab, tab.com.au, or on your mobile. Terms and conditions apply. Gamble responsibly.
The latest on the traffic for Rizzy, Rail Industry Safety Induction.
Want to get started in the rail industry? It pays well, there's lots of work, and it's safe. First, you need your Rail Industry Safety Induction card. Go to rizzy.com.au.
Well, accidents on either side of the harbour this morning. We've got a nasty one, a car and bicycle accident at the Lambie Heights North Manly area. It's Old Pittwater Road and Condamine Street. Emergency crews have been scrambled to the scene. And south side of the harbour, Station Road at Auburn, there's been a smash. Later today, Newtown, King Street between Enmore Road and Sydney Park Road. A protest march will be on, and southbound motorists will be diverted into Enmore Road. And in the city CBD, in 1 hour, we've got the Australian Asian Cup celebrations, Pitt Street near Pitt Street Mall. And get into Big W this weekend for huge deals like 20% off selected outdoor furniture. Offer ends today. Don't miss out. Visit your Big W store today. That's the latest traffic. Number one in racing on Sky Sports Radio.
Monday is touchdown time for one of the biggest sporting events on the planet.
Super Bowl 49.
And the best place in Sydney to soak up all the bone-crunching action is Churchill Sports Bar at Kingsford. Doors open at 7 a.m. You can see the game in HD on the big screens from 10:30. There'll be hot dogs, ribs and buffalo wings, all washed down with $5 Budweisers. So get down to Churchill Sports Bar in Kingsford as the Seattle Seahawks take on the New England Patriots in Super Bowl 49 this Monday.
Here's a thought for anyone renovating or building a new home.
Take a closer look at your design.
Visually, what do you think is the single most important purchase you'll make when building or renovating your home?
Windows and doors, of course.
You look through them every day. Make sure you don't look past them. They bring in light, airflow, and can assist with heating and cooling your home. Pretty important, I'd say. Wideline Windows and Doors have been manufacturing aluminium and timber windows and doors for over 40 years.
Make sure you take a closer look.
Showrooms in Parramatta, Tuggerah, and the brand new showroom in Broadmeadow Road, Broadmeadow.
Here we go! Oh, it's worth a shout! Get in here! It's a hat-trick! We've got one tonight at the MCG! And it's Dan Christian! You beauty!
He's passed the point and now...
Oh, ladies and gentlemen! Come on down, Carmichael Hunt! All around Australia, they'll get
on Sky Sports Radio. This is the Big Fox Breakfast Weekend. Chock full of sporting news and views from around the country and around the world. Plus, have your say. Here's Ray Thomas and Stuart Clark.
Welcome back to the program. 8 minutes past nine. This is the bonus hour. We're in overtime here. Double overtime's after 9:30. But this is just overtime, like a basketball game. We're in overtime, the bonus hour. Plenty going on in the world of sport. If you've just joined us, just recapping, Australia 2, the Korean Republic 1. Massimo Luongo scored in the 45th. Sun Heung-min scored in the 90th minute to equalise and sent the game into extra time, where James Troisi scored in the 106th minute. Serena Williams beat Maria Sharapova 6-3, 7-6, that's 7-5 in the tiebreak for a 6th Australian Open, her 11-year domination, 16th straight win over Maria Sharapova. And the Nines is on. There are a couple of front rowers that haven't, lost a game. The Bunnies, the Eels, the Sharks, the Roosters and the Tigers, they'll all be playing in the quarterfinals. And the one-day cricket's on today from Perth. Australia will take on England in the Carlton mid-strength tournament. I don't even know what the tournament's called these days.
ODI final.
In the one-day final. That'll do live from Perth a little bit later on this afternoon. So it's been a massive weekend of sport, and it's going to continue today.
Well, obviously the soccer is front and foremost for most people's minds. A tremendous game of football last night, Stewie. A little SMS here. Please, can we get a reality check? News headlines saying we have shocked the soccer world. We beat a team ranked 64th in the world in a regional-based comp on home soil and only after extra time. Highly unlikely to be shocking the soccer world. Dave from Cronulla. I think Dave's probably right, Stu, but what it has done, two things I think, Stu. It's highlighted that Australia can put on a world-class football tournament.
Without doubt.
Hence, hopefully, one day we can get a World Cup. And secondly, that this young Australian side has got the potential to do good things in years to come. And a man I think who can talk a lot about is Socceroos team, and also give us an update on the Sydney FC is Graham Arnold. Stu, I think we've got him online now. Graham, good morning.
Morning, Ray. How are you?
Terrific, yeah. And, well, I know Graham is a former Socceroo. You're on the coaching staff for many years. Last night's win was, I guess, a long time coming.
Oh, mate, it's just a great injection for the sport, football in this country. And, you know, we were confident, I think, as a football nation that we were going to win the tournament right from the start. But, you know, there's always the variables that you have to consider with the home ground pressure and that. But, you know, Ange Postecoglou's done a fantastic job. And as you said in the preview, that it's a young team. It's a team that can be together for years. And, you know, the future is very promising.
Arnie, last night's game, and look, the whole tournament, Australia played a very up-brand tempo of football.
Great to watch, yeah.
Is that a trademark of a Postecoglou-coached team?
Yeah, look, if you look back at Andrew's history as a coach and what he did at Brisbane Roar, you know, he's taken the club style of football into the national team, and, you know, he's had to put his brand and his mark on the national team very quickly. And, you know, he copped his criticism leading into the tournament. He hadn't won many games, and, you know, he experimented in friendly games and lost games and, you know, gave the opportunity to the young boys in those friendlies, and, you know, they've come up trumps for him. So, Ange, you know, he was brave enough to make those big decisions and not including Mark Schwarzer and Lucas Neal and those type of players, and letting them go and regenerate the squad completely with some youngsters. And he's got his just reward. And, you know, last night it was a game that could have gone either way in the end. You know, they showed great character. They, you know, conceded in the 90th minute. And with a young group of players and Timmy Cahill off the field, they could have, you know, they could have thought about what they nearly had in their hands. But they regrouped and they did extremely well in extra time and got the result that we needed.
Yeah, Arnes, we had David Gallop on last week, and I posed this question to him, I'm going to pose to you. The success of the Asian Cup and the success of the A-League, you've been around the sport all your life, basically. Footy seems to be gathering some real momentum now in Australia.
Yeah, look, you can't get those type of credit, and those type of results and that type of profile by playing in Oceania where we were for a long, long time. The brave move by Frank Lowy, you know, a decade ago to get us put in Asia and include us in the Asian Confederation was a masterstroke. And, you know, know, the fact that the club in the club side of football, we're getting to be able to play in the Asian Champions League like West Sydney Wanderers and won last year, and you know, that I had it with the Mariners and Melbourne Victory have had it in the past. That it gives you opportunity for players to, you know, to learn better in a meaningful competition, but also to learn the Asian way of playing football, and the level is much higher than the A-League, so it takes them out of their comfort zone. And, you know, the fact that we're competing regularly on those type of that type of stage regularly, it gives us a great opportunity to really enhance our the style of football, but also the sport in this country. And as you saw by the crowds that turned up for the Asian Cup, it's
fantastic.
The crowds are fantastic. And it's given everyone in Asia, it's put Australia on the map, especially with the way that we ran this tournament. And it was good to see Sepp Blatter come out and say that he's seen firsthand now that Australia can run a World Cup. And I think we'll definitely get the one after Qatar in 2026.
Well, let's hope so. If I can turn just to the Sydney FC for a little bit. 5-1 after which was a pretty tough month leading into Christmas, the little break, and hopefully that's for bigger and better things to come.
Yeah, Stewie, we had a tough month with injuries. You know, we lost four players within three ACLs and Sasha Ovanovsky with a hip injury, and you know, we were a bit buckled in numbers. But we took the time off for the Champions League. Came at a good time for us to recruit well, and we brought in two French Senegalese players in Jacques Fate and Mikel Tavares. It's given us a lot of depth, and they're quality players. And we're looking forward now to the second half of the season.
I just noticed you've let Pej Bowick go by mutual agreement as well.
Yeah, look, Pej. We had a good chat about things, and Pej decided that, he had his outside business as well in personal training, and he's built a very good brand at that, and he didn't really have the time for football, so to commit 100%. So, you know, Pej is a great guy, he's a good player, and Pej was, wanted to do that outside of football as well.
And so the two players you just mentioned that you managed to recruit from Senegal, can you explain the process about, one, identifying them as potential Sydney FC players and how you went about getting them? Because I thought they added real structure to your back half in the Central Coast Mariners game. And I know one swallow doesn't make a summer, so to speak, but really encouraging signs from both those players last week.
Yeah, look, it wasn't easy to recruit players in the middle of the season where we had to search high and wide, and Mikel Tavares was a player who was playing in the Czech Republic and wasn't getting paid. So we used the FIFA rule to get him out if a player doesn't get paid for 6 weeks, it's a breach of contract and he can leave. Mm-hmm. So that's what we did with Mikel, and Mikel, then his cousin, Jacques Fate, is actually his cousin.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was playing in China, and his club in China got relegated to the second division, and he didn't want to stay in China anymore. So with that connection, they both come out. And, Jacques was the captain of the French under-20 team back in 2003. They've both come through the French system, junior system, and they've both got a lot of quality. And they're both French-born, but they changed alliances to play for Senegal only 5 years ago. And they're quality international footballers that hopefully, as you said, they added a lot of strength and structure to the back half of our field last week, and hopefully that continues.
Well, you'll get a really stern test next week, Graham. You go across to Perth, I think, to play Perth Glory. They're on top of the table. It'll be an immediate test of where you're at, but as I said, encouraging signs against Central Coast Mariners going forward, and must be a bit more confidence now at the Sydney FC camp.
Yeah, look, it'll be a tough game. Perth away always is with the travel, but it's a 6-pointer for us. So I think if we can win that game, get 3 points there, we're back in with a chance of winning the championship, the competition, the premiership, whatever they call it now.
Yeah.
But the most important thing is hopefully we get top four and get a home semi-final in the final series.
Terrific.
Arnie, thank you for your time as always. I must ask you before you go, as Tom from Sylvania got in touch with you about the 50-year dinner for Sutherland District Cricket Club, given that you're a former player from the club?
No, he hasn't.
Oh, that's right. I'll put your name on the list for people to contact.
Okay, that'd be great.
Arnie, as always, you're very good with your time on this show, and we thank you very much. Good luck over there in Perth when Sydney FC take on the Perth Glory, and we'll speak to you again shortly.
Thanks, guys. No problem at all.
Thanks, Graham.
There he is, Graham Arnold. Perth Glory at $2.05. Sydney FC are paying $3.40.
Next Saturday night.
Tough assignment over there in Perth. But, look, they showed signs last week, and there's no reason why they shouldn't go over there and stand up for themselves.
Absolutely.
Hi, it's Mark Duclos. Every Monday morning, join me as we review the latest in greyhound racing on Going Greyhounds. There's greyhound racing news, fabulous flashbacks, breeding updates, valuable vets advice, and even some future winners from Australia's leading trainers. That's every Monday morning at 10:30, Going Greyhounds on Sky Sports Radio.
These days, it's okay to be a little crazy. Coco Joy is crazy about all things coconut and about bringing the joy back into everyday life. Coco Joy's range of products include Coco Joy coconut milk. It really packs a punch in classic chocolate, coffee and banana flavours without the dairy. And it's gluten, soy and lactose free. Then there's Coco Joy 100% coconut water and Coco Joy Kids. Bring back the joy with Coco Joy at a store near you or online at cocojoy.com.
Are you looking to buy or sell a thoroughbred? Maybe a broodmare, tried racehorse or even a yearling? Look no further than bloodstockauction.com, Australia's first 100% online auction. Horses go under the hammer from 7 p.m. the first and third Tuesday of every month. Catalogue available 5 days prior. Trading horses has never been easier. Log on and become a member today. Access to Bloodstock worldwide. Bloodstockauction.com, delivering the sales ring to you.
With all the goss on your sport and your team, you're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend on Sky Sports Radio.
Welcome back to the program. 1353 53 is the open line number. If you want to send an SMS, 0419 767 272. That's 0419 SMS BSB. And they've been coming in thick and fast, mainly about name of my horsey, which, you know, nothing's caught my eye at the moment. But there's also a couple here about the Asian Cup, and one in particular which has caught my eye, unsurprisingly, I might add. Where's Jimmy? Well, he's at home, obviously. I think he's actually covering the Nines. I want him to consider the question he posed a few weeks ago. The Asian Cup, does anybody care? The answer is yes. Master Monkey. He's been flying the SMS's in.
Has he got a prize yet? How many prizes have we given away this morning?
Oh, Master Monkey's got a lot of prizes.
Okay,
over the years, he's basically... He gives away prizes that he's won on this show to other people that call him.
Well, I think Alan from Penrith deserves a prize. Morning, boys. Call the horse, Clark of the course. No?
Oh, yeah, but yeah.
Just P.S. Loved the freeware boxing last night. Good on you, Alan. And P.P.S. Loved the show. Prize for him. Surely.
Well and truly, if you say stuff like that, Alan, it's pretty much guaranteed a prize. It's not that hard to work. Speaking of prizes, these people give away prizes all the time when you have a bet and you get it right.
I want the 290 Murray. I've got a piece of that.
Well, ask Trent Langskill. Good morning, Trent.
Good morning, dear Stuart.
You're the man with all the prizes, as long as you get the pick right.
Exactly. As long as you get the correct pick, then you're home sweet.
You are home. The tennis tonight, there'll be massive money being held for this match, I'd imagine.
There will be, yes, a 7:30 start at Rod Laver Arena, the men's singles final for the Australian Open, and Novak Djokovic is the warm favourite at $1.42, with Ray's pick by the sound of it, Andy Murray at $2.90. Looking at the sets betting, Djokovic to win in four sets, the favourite way at $3.25, the Joker in straight sets at $3.60, Djokovic in five at $5, and Murray in five at $6.50. But boys, if it's anything like what happened on Thursday night when Andy Murray was just getting a bit excited with Thomas Berdych and Djokovic going to the five sets against Wawrinka, we should be in for a long night, which is probably not what we need at the moment after what occurred last night. We're probably still on cloud nine.
Probably, Trent. I reckon I'll go five, Trent, but I just thought Murray at 290 was value. But anyway, Trent, the ODIs today, we'll be channel surfing again tonight, Stewie, between the cricket and the tennis. Australia, pretty warm favourites to beat England and take out the series.
They are, right. Well, they've had a good one-day series. They haven't lost a match. In England, well, they've been good against India, but they have struggled against the Aussies. So at the Wacker Ground in Perth, a 2:20 start. The Australians $1.33 and England at $3.40. For the high bet for the Aussies, David Warner, $3.50 favourite from Steve Smith at $4. Aaron Finch at $4.50. Shane Watson's $5.50.
I think Watson's out, isn't he, I think, Trent?
If he's out, well, then if you've had a bet on him, you'll get your money back. So that's all okay there. And then George Bailey at $8. For England's high bet, Ian Bell's the $3.50 favourite. Joe Root at $4.50. And you've got Moen Ali, Owen Morgan and James Taylor at $5.
Yes, and what about the second round or second half of the round 15 of the A-League? That's on as well.
Well, you've been talking about these fellas and the fact that Western Sydney have not lost to Melbourne City in their 2 years in the A-League. So a 5 o'clock start at Amy Park and Melbourne City are even money favourites. You've got the draw at $3.40 and Western Sydney at $3.50. So that could look attractive there. Just in the EPL, there's a couple of matches overnight to finish round 23. Arsenal's $1.25 at home to Aston Villa and Southampton $1.55 at home to Swansea City. Also, fellas, we've got the Auckland Nines finishing up today. At the moment, we've got Parramatta against St George Illawarra, so the pool matches, they'll just keep on opening throughout the morning, and then once they get through to the quarterfinals, the semis, and then the final itself. And in around about 24 hours' time, Super Bowl 49 from Glendale in Arizona, and we had them for a pick for most of the week, but now the New England Patriots are the slight favourites at $1.88 against the Seattle Seahawks at $1.95. There's plenty of betting options, the line, the points, also individual markets for certain players, the first touchdown scorer and the MVP as well, so there was a heap to bet on. So to check it all out, you can head to tab.com.au.
Trent, as always, very comprehensive. We'll speak to you again next week.
Will do. Thank you, fellas.
There he is, Trent Langskill from tab.com.au. All the prices there. If you want to have a bet, go and have a look at the website. There's plenty to choose from. Now, Ray, the SMSs are just flying in again. Stew poo.
Yeah, I don't.
Great show. Well, look, I don't know if I can give you a hat for that. Stew poo? Don't like it. Don't know.
What is stuff poo? I'm not sure what it means.
Stuff poo? I don't know. Yeah. Stew poo? I don't know.
What about Stuart's Lark? Wallaby Mick?
Yeah, not catchy enough for my mind, Ray. I don't mind them. They'll go into the big barrel, but they mightn't. You know, they mightn't make the final cut. The coffee cup's still winning.
Coffee cup's still winning, is it? Yeah.
Doesn't take a lot. Hi, boys. Ray, could you let us know what's happening with TVN? Has it already finished in New South Wales? Telstra doesn't know. That's from Ray Dungog, the Dungog Dragon.
Yeah. No, TVN's still going at the moment. The tip is that TVN will cease showing horse racing coverage from the first or second week in March. Not locked in yet. That's approximately what will happen. Then you'll get all the coverage of Sydney and Melbourne racing on a dedicated channel on Sky. It'll be 521. The important thing there, Stewie, is will be no extra cost to the punters. So for Dungog Dragon, rest assured you'll still get your racing coverage. Still a lot of T's to cross and I's to dot in the next month or so, but by probably early in March, TVN will cease to continue covering at least New South Wales racing. They're currently in negotiations, sure, Victorian arm, with Sky as well. So it'll all go across to Sky early in March. Okay. If that makes sense, Stewie, I hope you can follow that.
It's been following for the last couple of... It's been ongoing for a while now. We're just trying to get to the bottom.
Bottom line is it won't cost the punter any extra.
Correct.
And they'll still get to see their racing. And as soon as we know exactly when and where, we'll let people know.
That's exactly right. There's a tweet here from Anthony Barker. The Mighty Pats are coming to get you. Watch out, Arizona. Here they come. I'm sort of figuring, that's at our Twitter handle, at Big Sports When. The Pats.
Patriots
coming to get you, Arizona. Oh, Jesus. It's going to be a massive, massive day, as it always is, the Super Bowl 49.
Just hopes on another blowout like last year. They've had a couple of good ones in recent years. Last year was a blowout. But these two teams, as Dick Fane said earlier, Stewie, seem so evenly matched. We could be in for a classic.
Yeah, you just think it's going to be, you know, one throw, one touchdown, one goal, one field goal, whatever it may be, just to get them. And Seattle, with their defence, is, you know, you talk to anyone that knows anything about NFL, and they talk, their defence is as strong as ever. Just recapping, the Auckland Nines are on. It's Parramatta 10, St George 8. That's a live fixture going on as we speak in the... just coming up to the 16th minute, so only a couple of minutes there to go. I think the Dragons need to win.
They have to win to
have any chance of going through. Basically, the Eels, they're just a bit of a runaround before they get into the quarterfinals this afternoon. So plenty of Nines coverage coming up all over the place, and you can bet live on tab.com.au.
If Gallops Racing is your fancy, you'll get... get it all on Sky Sports Radio. We're with New South Wales Racing all the way from Racing HQ.
Well, we've got plenty of thoroughbred meetings today. We urge people to get along and enjoy it.
Trainers and jockeys supply vital info.
He's in super form and I think he's a genuine each way champ.
Form experts, we've got the best. Racing is 7 days a week and Sky Sports Radio doesn't miss a beat.
If you're after a skid steer loader that leads the way in quality, reliability and durability, then Toyota Material Handling has the right solution for you. That's because for earth moving and excavating, the Toyota Husky skid steer loader leads the pack. From 320 to a massive 900 kilogram capacity, get the Husky skid steer loader from Toyota Material Handling. It's that top dog in the dirt. Call 1-800-425-438 or visit toyotaskidsteerloader.com.
Are you looking to buy or sell a thoroughbred? Maybe a broodmare, tried racehorse or even a yearling? Look no further than bloodstockauction.com, Australia's first 100% online auction. Horses go under the hammer from 7 p.m. the first and third Tuesday of every month. Catalogue available 5 days prior. Trading horses has never been easier. Log on and become a member today. Access to Bloodstock worldwide. bloodstockauction.com. Delivering the sales ring to you.
G'day, Glenn McGrath here for the McGrath Foundation. Each year we're proud to bring pink to the SCG to help fund McGrath breast care nurses nationally. This year you can bring some pink into your community by getting your cricket club involved in Pink Stumps Day. Every club that registers automatically receives an amazing pink players kit valued at over $500 and goes into the draw for a chance to have me at your Pink Stumps Day. Registration is limited, so head to mcgrathfoundation.com.au today. The McGrath Foundation. Together, we can make a difference.
Sundays just don't feel right without a dose of the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend on Sky Sports Radio.
Welcome back to the program. The Dragons have beaten the Eels, I think, by one try, a couple of points there in it. So the Dragons, they're now on 4 points, and we'll have to wait and see. I imagine it'll go on four and against or something like that to see the next result. But we'll check that before we do all that stuff. Well, she says she only wants to work after 9:30, so it's 9:30 now. Let's get a sports update with Tanya.
On the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with a sports update, here's Tanya White.
Australia won its first major men's soccer title by taking out the Asian Cup last night in Sydney. The Socceroos hung on for a 2-1 extra time win against a relentless South Korea. Massimo Luongo and James Troisi were our goal scorers, and coach Ange Postecoglou says this is just the beginning for his young side. Meantime, round 15 of the A-League continues this afternoon with Western Sydney taking on Melbourne City at Amy Park. The Melbourne franchise has never won against the Wanderers, and the Wanderers haven't won this season, so a big match for both teams. And then tomorrow night, it's Brisbane versus Wellington at Suncorp at 8 o'clock. Serena Williams has jumped to equal third on the women's tennis singles Grand Slam list after a straight sets win over Maria Sharapova in the final of the Aussie Open last night, the win taking her tally to 19, which is 3 behind Steffi Graf and 5 behind Margaret Court. Battling flu symptoms all fortnight, the world number one managed to outclass the world number two, 6-3, 7-6. Tonight, the men's final, Novak Djokovic versus Andy Murray. Footy show night last night, and Paul Gallen defeated Randall Ray from Wentworthville by unanimous points. The same result for Sonny Bill Williams over Chauncey Welliver. And despite looking extremely unfit compared to Williams, the American surprisingly lasted the 8 rounds. A call has been made now for Williams and Gallen to battle it out this time next year. In rugby warm-up matches last night, Carmichael Hunt debuted for Queensland, but the Reds went down to the Melbourne Rebels 28-13. The Hurricanes 42 beat the Crusaders 31. And the Waratahs scored 10 tries in 3 half-hour matches against Randwick, Sydney Uni and Parramatta. Chris and Me led from start to finish to take out the $400,000 Group 1 Victoria Cup last night at Tabcorp Park, Melton. Said to be the best Vic Cup field ever, Lenny the Shark was second, Adore Me came in third, and the favourite Bowtide finished out of the placings. English Premier League results: Hull 0, Newcastle 3, Crystal Palace 0, Everton 1, Liverpool 2, West Ham 0, Man U 3, Leicester City 1, Stoke 3, QPR 1, Sunderland 2-0 over Burnley, West Brom 0, Tottenham 3, and in the big one, 1 versus 2, Chelsea and Man City drew 1-1. Tiger Woods has slipped out of the top 50 in the world golf rankings for the first time in 3 years after his shocker yesterday at the Phoenix Open, where he shot an 82. He needs to be in that top 50 to be eligible for the World Golf Championships at Doral in March, where there is a winning purse of $9 million. Meantime, third round of the tournament in Phoenix, and Martin Laird is on top of the leaderboard. He's at 12 under. He leads by 2 shots. The best of the Aussies, Jeff Ogilvy, he's at -6, while Rory McIlroy leads the Dubai Desert Classic after the third round by 4 shots. Cadell Evans rides his last professional race today, the Great Ocean Road Race in Geelong. Cadell says he's never done a last race before, and it's going to be quite emotional for him. Also today, the final of the one-day tri-series between Australia and England in Perth, and also in Perth, Sydney take on the Wildcats in the NBL. What do you think Tiger said to the commentator when he was interviewed and after his shocking 82?
I'm not playing well.
It was actually quite clever. He says, "I'm just here so I wouldn't be fined."
Yeah, you know,
taking on Martian Lynch's line. I thought that was quite funny. Now,
I tell you, just on that, there's no one more desperate for Tiger to play at Doral than the TV executives.
No. Absolutely.
He's out of the top 50. That means he mightn't get a start. That means TV ratings.
Yeah.
Means advertising is going down. They would be... Not, well, you know what they'd be doing. They're not going to be happy.
And that'll only be the second time he hasn't been there. And I think that other time was when he was going through all that drama. Some of those shots that he played yesterday, my 12-year-old son's just taken up golf, and they were embarrassing.
Yeah.
And someone on the PGA Tour should not be hitting shots like that. It was dreadful.
He's clearly not ready to play yet. Like,
no,
he hasn't had any practice.
Yeah.
There was photos of him with missing a tooth being on a ski slope about a week ago.
Those scary shots, weren't they? Now, covering the big issues here as we do. 112 million watched the Super Bowl last year, so around probably the same this year. And I would say a lot of those, or quite a few million, would tune in just for the halftime show and the commercials, me being one of them. Katie, no, seriously, I can't sit and watch that. It's too long. I can watch 5 minutes of it every now and then. But I'll be watching the halftime show where we'll see Katy Perry, which I think is a fantastic choice.
How much did you get paid for that, Tim?
A couple of million.
No, in actual fact, the artists don't get paid. And
what, free? They do it for...
They do it for
the exposure.
You are kidding. No,
that.
Seriously. Yeah. There was a consideration there by the NFL. They were keeping it under wraps, but it did leak out that they were considering charging the artists to perform. Because the promotion they get out of it, for example... Bruno Mars last year, who was the performer, the week leading up to his performance, his latest album that was out at the time, sales went up 92%. And Beyonce the year before, her record sales went up 59% around that time. So the NFL thought, well, we might capitalise on this and start charging the artists to appear. But then the argument there would be weaken or cheapen the event.
Yeah.
So you'll have some shake, somewhere paying $10 million for his son or daughter to play the NFL Grand Final.
Yeah.
I can imagine that.
You're an entrepreneur there,
Tanner. Yeah, now just lastly, as I said, we do cover the big issues, and I'm just looking at the sporting the people that may be going into the jungle. We were discussing this before because
Welcome
it is important.
Mm.
Yeah. Barry Hall apparently is one of them. Andrew Simons and Liesl Jones pretty much confirmed. And you sort of won as well, Stu.
Yeah, I'm not sold on the Andrew Simons. And I've got to say, if Andrew Simons goes in...
He'd look after himself.
He's going to win.
Yeah,
like, he'll win by... Because he's a bushy.
Did you see him diving off a 6-foot platform in that diving show? He could do anything.
Yeah, he just basically... Andrew Simons would love to live his life like that. Just go live in the bush and...
He could handle it.
Wrestle with crocodiles and... So, I'm not thinking it's Andrew. I'm thinking it's more... There's one cricketer going. I'm thinking it's Matthew Hayden. And this is only based on looking at his Twitter feed. He hadn't sent a tweet out for about 2 weeks, about the 15th or 16th of January, where they went over there.
Mm.
There's a couple of retweets in this random tweet that's gone out today where someone's looked at it and gone, hang on, he hasn't sent, this is a bit obvious. I think it's Matthew Hayden.
Well, Matthew Hayden and Andrew Simons are great mates. They fish together all the time. Matthew Hayden get out in the bush and live.
He's a great cook, isn't he?
So he could cook
a coconut or something.
I'm going to say to you, by the end of the show, if you watch the show,
I know that
you may not like Matthew Hayden as much because he can talk in sort of weirdo language, and it's a bit like, wow, what's he talking about? So, no, I'm not going to say you won't like, because he's a good mate of mine.
Yeah.
He's a good friend of mine, but I'm not sure he'd be everyone's cup of tea.
Well, they're allowed to take one luxury item, and if Andrew Simons was there, would it be the zinc? The zinc cream.
He'll take the zinc, just for show. So, yeah. Thank you, Tanya. Appreciate that. Well, you know what time it is now.
Quiz time.
It's quiz time. If you're on, 1353 53, if you want to play in the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend Quiz, call now, 1353 53. Great prizes on offer. The
prize pack's huge. The prize pack's Mount Everest.
Well, it's getting bigger and bigger by the moment. Is there a diary in there? There must be some sort of diary
in there.
There's
no diary. There's a heap of DVDs.
We'll chuck in a hat. Yep. We'll see if we can find something that resembles a diary. Maybe just a bit of paper with a calendar on it, something like that. Call now, 1353 53. Thanks for the update, Tanya.
Heading into the world-famous Sydney Autumn Carnival, Sky Sports Radio is your racing leader.
I got a drink in my hand and my only suit too. The vibe is in the air, I feel it. I love my life.
We love it when we back a winner.
I've got number 13, Serenade, possibly leading here. And even though she was out of pace on debut of Gosford, she did show natural pace to win her trial, so I expect her to go forward.
Serenade well clear from I'm Not Sure, and Serenade bolts in by 5 lengths, I'm Not Sure Echo Queen third.
13 Serenade, Brenton Abdallah, $15.50 and $3.
Paul Joyce, one of the late male experts that loves tipping winners on Sky Sports Radio. Monday is touchdown time for one of the biggest sporting events on the planet, Super Bowl 49. And the best place in Sydney to soak up all the bone-crunching action is Churchill Sports Bar at Kingsford. Doors open at 7 a.m. You can see the game in HD on the big screens from 10:30. There'll be hot dogs, ribs and buffalo wings, all washed down with $5 Budweisers. So get down to Churchill Sports Bar in Kingsford as the Seattle Seahawks take on the New England Patriots in Super Bowl 49 this Monday.
Big moments are made easy with a graduate of this year's Magic Millions Perth Yearling Sale from February 17. An outstanding selection of yearlings by a wide range of local and interstate sires. From a sale that has produced Group 1 stars Magnificio and Moment of Change, all yearlings offered are eligible for the $11.19 million Magic Millions Race Series. Find racing's next superstar at the Perth Yearling Sale February 17 and 18. For more information and to view the online catalogue, visit magicmillions.com.au.
On Sky Sports Radio, your weekend is packed with sporting news from around the country and around the world. This is the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
Well, it's time. This time every... Well, next week it'll be on at 8:40, but because we're in the bonus hour and bonus time, this is double overtime we're
in
now.
With a huge bonus pack.
Yeah, with a huge bonus pack for the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend Quiz. We've got two players on the line. We've got Mark and Sam. I think Mark's going to go first and he's going to play for Ray. Morning, Mark.
Yeah, good morning. How are you?
Yeah, Mark, you ready to go?
Yeah, give it a go.
All right, mate, here we go. Here's the first question, Mark. How many tennis majors has Scotsman Andy Murray won?
Five.
I missed that one, just the two. Okay, second question, Mark, here we go, mate. Socceroos keeper Matt Ryan, who had a great game last night, he's been reportedly linked to which EPL giant? Manchester United, Chelsea or Liverpool?
Chelsea.
Sorry, Mark, it was Liverpool.
That's all right.
Okay, mate, we'll get this one right. This is your third question, Mark. We need this one. Who was the inaugural winner of the Allan Border Medal? Steve Waugh, Glenn McGrath, or Matthew Hayden?
Steve Waugh.
Sorry, Mark, it was Glenn McGrath. But hang on, mate, you never know. Well, Stewie's up. Here we go, Stu. 0 from 3 for me.
I think you're 0 from 6, Ray, to be fair.
I won last week.
Did you win?
Yeah. It was 1-0 for me at the moment.
Was it? Yeah. Oh, maybe I was 0.
You went 0-3.
I was 0-3. Yeah, all right. Player 2 is Sam. Good morning, Sam.
Morning.
All right, you're only going to get one right here, champ. Let's go. Question one. Who did the Seattle Seahawks defeat in last year's Super Bowl? Was it the San Francisco 49ers, the Denver Broncos, or the New England Patriots?
Patriots.
No, it was the Denver Broncos. They play the Patriots tomorrow, our time, tomorrow morning or Sunday night, their time. Question two. The Socceroos are currently ranked 100th in the world. What is their best ever FIFA ranking? Is it 14, 15, or 16? 17, did you say?
14.
There you go, it's Sam. You're a winner, champ. Well done, Sam in Newcastle. You're the winner of this Big Sports Breakfast Weekend Quiz. We got a prize pack of some CDs and a hat and some goodies and things like that. Stay on the line, Sam. Well done.
Cheers.
There he is, Sam. He's over the moon by the sounds of it.
One all, Steve.
One all, me versus you. Look, how good was that quiz? Questions, let's give Jeremy a rating out of 10 for his quiz, his questions.
They're pretty difficult. I thought the hardest one was of my three was who was the inaugural winner of the Alan Border
Medal. Yeah, I did. It was a long time. I knew, but that's me. Did you know?
No, I would have gone Steve Waugh.
Yeah, I think Steve Waugh was a pretty good guess given the circumstances of how good he was at that time. Auckland Nines update: Manly 7, Newcastle 0. That's 8:15 gone in the first half of that match. You can see Daly Sherwin's running around out there, so I'd imagine you Manly fans, you want to see them win, but you also want to see your Manly players get through without getting hurt. Horse names coming in: Safraz. Well, that's probably not unusual. 7 Letters Are Lucky.
That's true.
There's no name on that one, so I don't know. Let's hope it's a super horse. Call it Clark Kent.
I do like that one.
Is it? Surely there's a horseman named Clark Kent.
I've never recall one. Or what about Shark Stew?
Sharky Stew.
From James.
Yeah, don't mind that. That's not bad. Sharky Stew. Or Shark Stew. No, either or. It doesn't matter. It's plenty going on. Ray, we were talking a little bit about the soccer, and I'm talking about Massimo Luongo and how good he is when he got the ball. To me, and look, I don't want to sound negative about it because they won last time, but he seems to drift in and out of the game a little bit in the sense that...
Is that a bit of his youth and inexperience?
I think so,
imposing himself maybe like a Timmy Cahill does on the team. The flashes are brilliant. He's great to watch.
Yeah, when he gets, like, all of a sudden he gets the ball and you think, wow, how good, he left and right foot, good with both feet. But he just seems to me to... I don't know. I don't want to say lazy because I don't think he is, but he just seems a fraction off the pace.
Yeah. I hate using this expression, but he provides that X factor, doesn't he?
Without doubt.
Like that goal he scored last night was brilliant. And he does those little flashes of brilliance, Stu, that he's done it right through the tournament, and he has been a real find. Maybe it's his inexperience, Stu. Maybe in time he can impose himself even more on a game, but what he's doing now is, as I said, adding that little X factor to Australia, and he's been the surprise pack. I don't think rival teams had Luongo pegged as such a dangerous attacking player before the tournament started.
Certainly not. He's playing for Swindon Town over in England, but just his first touch, the way he turned and shot in the corner, no real chance for the goalkeeper. He tried his best, and unfortunately, nothing came of it. With the tennis last night, and sort of covered it over at night. Did you get frustrated with the come-ons?
Yeah, I did, I must admit. And I told you, I went down there on Monday and saw Venus Williams and Novak Djokovic, and it was nothing. It was great to see live, Stu. If you haven't been to a major tennis tournament, it is great to see live. You get a real appreciation of how quick, not only do they hit the ball, but how quick their reaction time is. They are in position so quickly to return, not only fast serves, but booming forehands, booming backhands. It was great to watch. Novak Djokovic is an extraordinary player, and he deserves to be favourite today. Andy Murray's been almost faultless this tournament. I thought he was great against Thomas Berdych, and there was a lot of spice in that match. And at 290 in a two-horse race, he's in this game tonight, no doubt about it.
He certainly is. Going back to the come-on, it's almost like a tactic now, and it's not...
Did you watch Serena a couple of times? Yeah. It was deliberately aimed at Maria.
Straight at Maria. Yeah. Or, you know, Andy Murray doing the come-on to the opposition's coaching box because he knew there was that tension, that rivalry. Stan got upset. But I don't know. I'm listening to Courier and Hewitt and McAvaney, and they're talking, oh, he's just got to let out a big come on here. And I'm thinking, what for? Just hit the ball. And
It was interesting, the commentary last night, how they reiterated a number of times how there's no love lost between Maria and Serena. But did you listen to the speeches in the...
Yeah.
Actually quite gracious, weren't they, both in defeat and in victory?
And there's a lot of respect, I think, between them. You know, obviously Serena, and she's going to go down arguably as one of the greatest ever but I think she's got a lot of respect for Maria and what she's achieved in the game.
Is it almost too much? Because the point that was made last night has been repeated a number of times over the years. When Maria Sharapova walks onto a tennis court against any other woman player in the world, she feels she's the dominant player and will win. She walked on against Serena... The mindset's not there. Serena intimidates her for whatever reason. But, obviously she's a great player, but Maria can't bring that same... We talked about self-belief earlier. Again, that same self-belief to the court. Mm. But
it's the same thing with Federer v. Nadal. Mm. Nadal's beaten Federer so much.
Put you on clay.
And look, Nadal has some features with the left-handed serve and getting out up high to his backhand, and you listen to the tennis commentators talk. and you know, he gets it into spots that Federer doesn't particularly like the ball, but it's now almost come such a mental battle. Same thing with Nadal against anyone that he plays against at the French Open.
Yep.
He's just got that mental edge of
nine French Opens now, I think.
Well, that's
been beaten once in
he's won 14, yeah, 14 Grand Slams, and nine of them in.
Clay,
and
yeah.
Look, in all fairness, would you back against him?
Well, you can't, because he's just almost unbeatable there. Djokovic has never won the French. Federer did, but the year he won, of course, Nadal had that knee injury, was knocked out early. It's the only time he's been beaten at Roland Garros, which is just an extraordinary team. But who's your tip tonight, Stu?
Oh, look, I've just got this feeling Andy Murray's going to win. Mm. I'd love to see Djokovic. I really like Djokovic as a player.
That's what I'm saying. $2.90 is a good bet.
It's a good
seriously.
Bet. There's something about it. 13.50, 3.53. Who do you think is going to win the tennis? Take your calls all the way up to 10 o'clock. I don't know. There's something about it that, I don't know, Djokovic, yes. I was worried after I watched him play in the semi-final, because I think he just, it was almost fatigue-like and it just not normal with him. And I know Wawrinka hits the ball probably harder than most. You know, I think he certainly hits it harder than Andy Murray. But there was a gap there. Someone found a gap or a chink in Djokovic's his armour, and not many people have been able to.
Yeah, Stan the Man's taken Djokovic to five sets now in two Australian Opens, US Open last year. Again, this week he's does push Djokovic to the limit. Murray's sort of gone through those rounds pretty well. Thomas Birch match, a little bit of a hiccup, but he's played well. And we heard from Leo Schlink earlier.
Mm.
He is back to that 2013 form when basically he was the world's dominant player. So last year, injuries, particularly his back, brought him back to the field big time, but he's got his mojo back, so to speak, hasn't he?
And, he certainly has.
The Australians over in Perth, Stu, what's your tip there? Like, they've raced through this tournament unbeaten so far. This is a final. I know it's probably going to mean little in the context of a World Cup, apart from maintaining momentum, maintaining confidence, but they should win tonight, shouldn't they?
Yeah, they should win. They should win comfortably. If form's anything to go by, they should win comfortably. The question will be, you know, if England get a good score or if, you know, they lose a couple of early wickets or something like that, but I can't see Australia losing. Mitchell Johnson back in the side after what's been... Well, he didn't play the last Test match, so he's pretty much had almost a month off. Coming back into the Australian team, he's just the X factor that we haven't had. He needs to play some cricket, and then and then Australia. Well, yeah, let's see how they build in the World Cup. But they've got to go in as hot price favourites tonight, and also for the World Cup.
Are you looking to buy or sell a thoroughbred? Maybe a broodmare, tried racehorse, or even a yearling? Look no further than bloodstockauction.com, Australia's first 100% online auction. Horses go under the hammer from 7 p.m. the first and third Tuesday of every month. Catalogue available 5 days prior. Trading horses has never been easier. Log on and become a member today. Access to Bloodstock worldwide. Bloodstockauction.com, delivering the sales ring to you.
G'day, Richo here. Right throughout my footy career, coaches played an important role in my development, from junior footy right through to the AFL. But coaching can be tough, especially if you don't know what a good coach actually does. The Australian Sports Commission offers a free online coaching course to help build confidence and improve the skills of community coaches, no matter what the sport. Just search online coaching course. Good coaches never stop learning, and that's a big part of what makes sport so enjoyable for everyone.
These days, it's okay to be a little crazy. Coco Joy is crazy about all things coconut and about bringing the joy back into everyday life. Coco Joy's range of products include Coco Joy coconut milk. It really packs a punch in classic chocolate, coffee and banana flavours without the dairy. And it's gluten, soy and lactose free. Then there's Coco Joy 100% coconut water and Coco Joy Kids. Bring back the joy with Coco Joy at a store near you or online at cocojoy.com.
With all the goss on your sport and your team, you're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend on Sky Sports Radio.
13.53.53 is the open line number. We've just seen, I think Manly...
Controversial
try in the nines. Manly have gone in for a try. Down the sideline, away he goes, throws a dummy, gets in there, tries to get himself into the blue zone, and then gets tackled, gets flattened by Jared Mullen, actually, absolutely belts him. Looks like he drops the ball, but the referee awarded a try, they kicked the goal.
Knights
tried, 14-13, and Manly have just gone in again in the corner in the 15th minute. I don't know who the bloke is with the bad hair, but number 7, whoever that is, but
He needs to go and see the hairdresser, I know that. But Manly are now in front, 17 points to 14. And if I look at the table here, Manly haven't won a game, I don't think. No, they hadn't won a game till today. So they're going to end up on 2 points, which means the Knights or the Knights will end up, or the Dragons will go through, I would have thought, if they lose this game. So the Dragons fans out there, if the Knights don't win, you'll be through to the quarterfinals of the Nines.
A couple more SMSs here, Stu. We're getting close to getting the name, I reckon. What about empty cabinet for Stuart's horse from Gut, obviously referring to the Sharkies?
Oh, what are you talking about?
And what about none for plenty? No offence intended, Stewie, from Grant from Huey.
Oh, no. Well, that's a bit rough, isn't it?
Plenty.
I can leave none for plenty. That's not a bad one. That's not a bad one. Let's go to the open line, 13:53:53, and John's there. Morning, John.
Oh, g'day, matey. I was just going to mention that Leighton Hewitt's got a fair bit to answer for his, all this come on, hasn't he?
Yeah, I agree with you. He started it.
Everybody's into it. And do these people ever take a photo of themselves when they've got their mouth
tied up? It looks a bit staged to me sometimes, too. It's almost as though they're doing it.
It was last night by Serena. Yeah. No doubt about that against Maria at certain times.
Like bloody Luna Park or something.
I tell you what, though, John, Leighton Hewitt's a good tennis commentator. He's great to listen to. Great insight into the players and their tactics.
All those commentators are coming good now, like the tennis players and the cricket and the football. They're very good commentators, aren't they?
Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. So, Leighton, Channel 7 will sign him up, I'd imagine, pretty much straight away when once he finally tries. And look, there is an indication that Australian Open next year will going to be. Is he going to make it?
I'll give him a wild card. I'll put him in
the show. That's what I mean. He's a massive draw card, but in all fairness, he'd be the first to admit this. His best days are probably behind him, but you know, it's good to see him, and we'll give him a good send-off. Kurt's on the line. Morning, Kurt.
G'day, Stu. How are you, mate?
Good. You there?
Oh, sorry, mate. I just cut out for a second.
No, you're right. Go for it.
Yeah, no, just a quick one. Mate told me you're looking to buy a horse and you're wanting to name it.
Yeah.
Yeah, mate, just quickly, there's a sire going around named Over. Yep. I would have thought just call your horse Stu. That's a pretty good horse, though, that sire. I don't know where it was, but there's a horse going around named Pfeiffer. And also, how's that? All after
Over.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Stu Over. No, I don't mind that one. Thank you for that, Kurt. Appreciate your call. Stu Over.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Over's
bad.
Biggest claim to fame. He hasn't been a great success at stud, but he did beat Sunline in the 1999 Doncaster, Stu.
Okay.
2000 Doncaster. Okay. Very good horse, Over.
Well, you got a tip for us today?
Well, two to follow. Yeah. Late Geneva yesterday was run down by Fireworks. I just thought she didn't quite know what to do when she hit the front. Philly having a first start, a lot of improvement in her physically and also mentally. Follow Late Geneva. Sarajevo was expected to win more easily yesterday than he did, Stu. He got the job done. The cut in the track I don't think quite suited him. He's a better horse than that, though. I know the Godolphin stable believe he's capable of going to bigger and better things. So Sarajevo's first up win, I think, is a portent of things to come. So that's who to follow from yesterday, Lake Geneva and Sarajevo.
All right, I'll definitely follow those ones, Ray. I'll keep an eye out. Now, good morning, boys. I've got two horses named inspired by Ron Duffacy. Ronnie Duffacy. Money Muncher and Pack Chaser.
That's a bit harsh, yeah.
Yeah.
Ronnie's a good judge. He's a good judge.
He is, isn't he? Everyone tells me.
Best
like,
in the business.
People that say, Ron Duffacy knows about his horses, and everywhere I turn to says he's got a real good eye for a good horse.
And one of the nice guys in the sport, too. Hi, boys. Just wondering if you have any idea what will happen to the winning post when TVN is finished up. Will it continue or not? Stewie, it'll be up for sale, I dare say, the winning post. So someone may want to buy that. And also, another SMS here from James. Stewie, I think cricket should have a T20 as a major type of cricket for its World Cup. I'm aware of a T20 World Cup recently, but nowhere near as much publicity as the approaching tournament. Probably because we haven't had one in Australia yet, Stu.
No, we haven't. They've had a couple. It's one of the World Cups. The Cups Australia hasn't won, actually.
Yep.
I played in the first one in 2007, and we all thought it was a massive joke, to be fair. We were, you know, thinking about how good's this going to be, and I know there were certain blokes that were going fishing and surfing.
Yeah,
that made South Africa before, you know, we'll come to training later. Yeah, have a good time, boys. We'll see them at SAFT. now become to a big deal.
Yeah.
I'm not sure international 2020s actually should exist at all. I think they should just be a club, like your IPLs and your Big Bashes.
The Big Bash, yeah.
Because what ends up happening is you end up playing these random tournaments, like we saw in 2014 against South Africa. Three T20 internationals, which no one really... You know, I know Australia won because I was there, but does it really mean anything to anyone? And add to that, the main Australian team, including Warner and Smith, were all flying back from Dubai when the games were on.
Exactly, yeah.
So
yeah.
People are looking at it going, I'm watching the Australian team, but I just watched them in Dubai and they're on a plane, but I'm watching the Australian team.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Almost too much cricket. But, I'm like you though, Stuart. I love my cricket, so I'll be watching the ODI this afternoon.
It'll be good. Just quickly, we didn't mention probably the one downside or the low light in the soccer last night, and we're doing it at 2 minutes to ten. This is no disrespect to the man, and if he is listening, please don't take it. But Robbie Cruz, he came off late in the game, and look, we all thought at the time he'd ruptured his Achilles tendon. The bit in the paper is saying that he's got some sort of ankle injury, which is probably better news.
It's good news for him.
Yeah. You know, because if he ruptures his Achilles, he's out for a long period.
And he's just come back from that knee reconstruction.
Congratulations to Socceroos, but there is one man that's probably sitting at home a little bit worried because long knee-term knee injury. He's signed with Bayern Munich over there, so I imagine he hasn't played a lot of game time for them. He wants to get out and show his wares, and hopefully this is not a long-term injury for him.
Well, sure, we got through it again, 4 hours, but next week we get a haircut. Back to 9 o'clock, 6 till 9 o'clock next week.
That's the negotiation I went in there. I said, look, I'm sick and tired. I'm going to do it 2 weeks, and that's it. I won't be doing it anymore after that.
No, it's money, but we get cut back to 9 o'clock.
So, 6 o'clock till 9 o'clock next weekend. I'll be here. Ray will be here. We'll be talking all things sports, including the Men's Open Final. The World Cup of Cricket will be just about to start.
In the corner.
You'll have a recap on all Saturday's racing. Any big races on next Saturday?
Breeders' Classic next week and the English Classic. Couple of good races. And the Eskimo Prince Stakes, the return of Scissor Kick, one of the highlight colts, potential of the autumn. So, as I said, we're still in summer, but the autumn's on, Stewie.
And we're building up to the championships, which will be happening later in the year. And we know there's been a lot in that, how successful that was for the racing industry last year. It's been good this Sunday morning, Ray. We'll catch you.